some good ice cubes.
And do what I can.
Mm-hmm. All right, here we go.
What should I do and how should I do it? I got a problem and I gotta get through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library? Yeah, but I don't read, so I watch some TV. I see what Hulu has to offer me. I got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I got more options than I got time. I just need a little distraction to keep my mind off my lack of action. I just need a little TV so I can forget completely. Forget completely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life's a Binge. I am Jared.
I'm BJ.
I am Rich.
And that's all we have with us today. A classic episode coming at ya.
Mike P, we miss you, brother.
Mike P hasn't been here in a few
times. 2 weeks now,
yeah.
He's a busy man.
And Maddie doesn't have a review for us, so it's literally the three of us sitting gonna be bullshitting for like 20 minutes,
I'm
right?
I'm a busy man.
Right.
Hey, it used to just be the two of us.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. With no segments.
With nothing. It was BS for like 20 minutes, take a breath, talk about Seinfeld for 40 minutes. The end.
There was one that just came up on the memories. Mm-hmm. What was the episode? But it was, damn it.
It was a good one.
Let's just say it was a good one.
Yeah, it was like, probably a good one.
Sometimes they come up and you're like, ooh, I want to hear that again.
Yeah.
Like, I want to listen to that again.
Classic. Classic Life's
a Binge. I talked about the eclipse because it was right after the eclipse.
Nice.
And
good times.
There was some other stuff, too. Mm.
Good times. But thanks out there for listening to our show. And you can follow us on all social media at Life's a Binge. That's Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and all the goods. Facebook.com/Life's a Binge. Email is Life's a Binge@gmail.com. You can call the voicemail line at 619-619. I was about to give my phone number out because I was like watching you like, hypnotized by you, Panic Trevor. I was just like, blah, blah, blah.
Ooh. My phone number is, this is what I say all the time.
Exactly, dude.
438-0532.
There it is.
619-438-0532.
That's the number, not my phone number. And the patreon.com/lifesabinge if you want to become a producer of the show, like Big Daddy Moneybags, Todd the Row, Jess Jansen, Kathy Weintraub, or the Couch Potatoes like BJ
Woof.
David,
Woof, whoop.
Mike, and myself.
Woof. That was for you, Mike.
Patreon.com/lifesabinge. Become a supporter of the show today.
Do it.
But all that being said, let's go ahead and start the show. Take a big breath.
Life's a binge.
Right?
Good ice.
What's up?
What's up?
What's
up? What's up, my dudes?
Nice. I was like, what's that sound?
You said you wanted it in the background.
I do. I did.
So,
and
what?
We could talk about it later.
Playing in the background.
Talk about it.
That's cool. So I'm too distracted. It probably is. Like, it maybe if we, like, planned it.
Right.
To, like, talk about this and this, and then as the music changes, you do this and this.
But I'm just going to let it play the whole thing.
That's cool.
Yeah, you're
cool.
So what's up, BJ?
So I'm just 2 days away from surgery.
So
today's Wednesday as we're recording this, and I'm getting it Friday morning. So they'd moved it up a week before, and then they called again, and I'm nervous when I see the California orthopedic on the phone. And they're like, calling about your surgery? I'm like, oh, God.
Oh,
they're
going to
tell
what
me,
now?
We can't do it. Your insurance sucks. You know, something, some nightmare like that.
Right.
And they said, we need to move it up from the second surgery of the day to the first surgery of the day. So I'm going to be going
get them fresh.
Yep, I'm going to be going at 5:30 in the morning.
5:30 in the a.m.
That's when I went when I had surgery. Yeah,
really? Are they completely like redoing your whole hip, the whole thing?
Yes, the ball and the socket
replacement.
Yep, replacing it.
Word.
Yep. So I had my class, my hip surgery replacement class,
mm-hmm.
mandatory. God, the nurse was.
F-O-I-N-E.
My buddy at work just had his hip replaced.
What did he think?
He said it was the most amazing thing that's ever happened
to
him.
That's all I hear, so yeah. I'm super excited.
My mom has had both hips replaced.
And she loves it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's like, it's weird because you have to learn to walk again because you've been babying it for so long.
Right.
That when you don't have any pain there,
your gait's
and it
totally
moves
different.
Like it's supposed to move, and it's like, he's like, he's like wobbling around like a toddler. He said it's so funny.
Like my mom hobbled with a cane for a long time, and she got the first one replaced, and the other one was like still giving her trouble, and she walked like that for I want to say probably 4 or 5 years, and she got that one replaced, and now she's just. You can't see me on the because this is radio, but I'm doing a little jig dance.
He's bebopping along,
bop, 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 like you know, like nothing ever happened, which is awesome. Like that, we can do that. You know?
It's exciting. Yeah. It's exciting.
We have the technology.
So today, like just literally, when I got to go, when got up to go get Rich.
Yeah.
Tonight, this for the last week, you can't take any ibuprofen or aspirin.
Boo.
Yeah, because they don't want any blood thinners in you when they do surgery.
Right.
So.
They want your blood to be blood.
So it's rough. It's rough. Mm-hmm. It was the same thing during the when I had my bladder surgery.
Oh, yeah.
So I got up, and, man, it just reminded me, oh, don't forget, your hip sucks.
Right.
And it hurts like it
does. Right.
It's like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
So pretty
That's
soon.
That's going to be gone. Literally, like, Friday when you wake up.
It's hard to believe.
Mm-hmm. Like,
it's
Friday really... when you wake up, it's going to feel better.
Yeah.
He said it feels like he got punched in the thigh about 1,000 times from Strong Dude just because it's his muscles are sore.
Right.
But the inner pain, like his joint pain,
the
is
deep
completely
pain.
Gone. He's like, my muscles are sore, but it's weird. My hip doesn't hurt for the first time that I can remember.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Mm-hmm.
That's dope. So anyway, I'm really looking forward to it. And that's the main thing that's up. Oh, and like we mentioned last week, Anthony's first game went off last Friday, and it was a lot of fun to watch. And luckily, it's viewable on YouTube, which makes it so easy. And also, that means it's automatically archived.
Right.
You can watch it forever. So
So Tony posted the link on Facebook, and I was like, "Ooh, I'll watch this while I'm on my lunch break." So I like turned it on while I was at work.
Mm-hmm.
I like fast forwarded to the point. It's like 17 minutes and 2 seconds or something. He's like, "Anthony comes on the field at this point." I'm like, "Okay, I'll see how the game starts." Like, literally the first play out the box is Anthony dropping back and dropping, like, a 30-yard dime, boink, right into the arms of the receiver.
Yeah.
I was like, nope. And then I was like, oh, they win? Score.
Like, it's super exciting. And, you know, I've been watching him his entire life.
Forever.
Like, just watching the first play, and, like, I'm like, he looks healthy and fast.
Yeah.
As strong, and you know, he's like in the best shape of his life, which is that's exciting.
Well, it's crazy because he like takes a snap, drops back for a second, he like starts to roll out, he's getting pressured, and he just says, go for
it. A guy
and
it
then launches it perfectly. It's like, and he's like barely looks like he flicked it, and it goes it's crazy.
That's
dude's
awesome.
Good,
yeah. So it's a trip because that's how it was in for a lot of his college and high school career. And I just, so it was like, as soon as that happened, I was like, yep, that's exactly what's supposed to be happening right now. This is exactly what
it's
I'm
like,
used
this
to.
Isn't going
to
work. You do that.
Yeah. Yep. So
that's cool.
It's exciting. So that's so games every other week. So, I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to 6 weeks off. The little lady is, my wife is taking off 2 weeks. And so,
to help take care of you.
Yeah.
Word.
Oh.
Yeah. So
that's nice.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having that time too. Just to,
well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's gonna suck because you're not gonna be able to move that much. You'll be able to move, mm-hmm. but like.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to move every day. Exactly. All
not
the time.
Move it though.
Yeah. Right.
But like, that's really cool that like, you guys will have that 2 weeks of just like, chill time.
Yeah. It'll be good.
That's dope.
It'll be good.
What's up, with you, J-Rod?
I did my first of 3 fantasy football drafts on Sunday last Sunday.
Do you think 3 is too much?
You're doing
three
like me this
the
year.
Perfect number.
Yeah,
see,
I'm down with 2.
I like 2.
Yeah. 2 is too little. 3 is magic.
I like 2. Three. I'm doing 3 this year as well.
Three.
I'll tell you what's difficult is your wife being in the same league as you and sitting directly next to you during the draft going like, who should I pick? So I'm sitting here trying to basically manage 2 teams, but then I know that like on the turn, she's going to pick before me, and I'm like, but I want David
right.
Montgomery.
Right.
So I can't tell her to get David Montgomery.
You got
to
be
up and up.
But
then I was, and so like I literally had my cheat sheet, and I was like, okay, the next guy that I have at this level, like you're going to take when it's your turn.
Yeah.
So I was like, I could have been like, okay, well, pick John Smith, and then I'll get David Montgomery. So it was just really hard to concentrate on your team when you're concentrating on another team
right.
at the draft.
Right.
Like, once you have your team, whatever, it's easy peasy to follow. I could be in, like, 12 leagues and be fine.
Like,
I don't
like
it's
the
not
idea
as
that,
fun,
like,
but
yeah, that so many of your character or your players are going against each other, like,
oh, right.
You know, or then 1 week you're cheering for this guy, and the other week you're cheering for the other guy, and so
the only time it becomes a problem is when you're like, I have Tom Brady on this team, and he has Tom Brady on this other league, and so you're like, I need 12 points from Tom Brady to win, but if he gets 12 points from Tom Brady,
I
lose.
Right.
That's the only
time. That's the time when, I agree.
Sucks.
Absolutely.
Other than that, I could be in every league. It's people like, I can't concentrate it. For 5 minutes when you're setting your roster, you just extend that to 15 minutes, like big whoop. You just change your roster around. It's not like
I spend like an hour every week reading, like, you know, who, if I want to pick somebody up, because I don't watch every game. I watch, well, because now I can walk to True North and watch. I can watch most of every game.
Watch Red Zone.
Yeah, which is tight. But the idea that I can't focus on more than I have people who can't focus on more than one. I'm like, that's a little, come on. Yes, you can.
Yes. Just try.
Yeah. Try
so
trying.
I did my first fantasy football draft. So on Tuesday this week, I got off on time, which is 4 o'clock, which has the first time that I've been off at 4 in a long time. And I got home, and I was like, what am I going to do? Just got 3 hours of sun for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
Samantha's not home till 6. So I was like, I'm going to do some yard work. So I like cleaned up the front yard a bunch, raked, pulled weeds, all that stuff. Starting to prep the yard so that way when it starts to get a little bit cooler, I can grow some grass out there and have the house look nice.
Right on.
It's good to have land.
And then Trevor has been feeling a little stiff lately, so this morning
Trev.
I got up and I made him a stepping stool to get in and out of the bed.
Oh.
In my wood shop here.
That's nice.
Skills.
Yeah, it was easy. I mean, it was just a piece of 2x6 and a piece of plywood on top. And
see, I'm hoping to have just a little bit of energy left, like, so
at all.
Well, I mean, like, I mean, right now I have such crappy energy, and a lot of it's because
it hurts to move.
It hurts. It hurts. Right. Yes, it hurts me.
Exactly.
Everybody hurts.
It hurts. But so because I have all these things I want to do, like,
right?
You know, and I've done some of them, and then I pay for it. So I finally hung up these blinds outside to block the sun.
Mm-hmm.
But man, the next day I was like, son of a bitch,
what have I done?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. But that's what's up with me. What's up with you, Rich?
I moved this weekend.
That's what's up.
And I will start this by apologizing to Lindsay, my future wife, because I am a pill when it comes to me. I am just no fun to be around before, during, or after moving, even with hiring movers and like doing all that stuff.
That's your whole life?
Hey, I am
saying,
a joy.
You're at some point. You're either before, in the middle, or after a move.
No, no, no. But like immediately before, or immediately after, or during a move, I'm miserable to be around. And
right.
I just not, I have. I'm very short and very curt, and I have to preface almost everything I say with, "This isn't directed directly at you." I'm hot and sweaty and annoyed because we always move with the hottest time of the year.
That's
like,
funny.
Every time.
Yeah.
But we're in the new spot now, and it's cool. So we got the cat and the rabbit and the rabbit. Now, this I didn't talk about this earlier, but I'll talk about it now because I couldn't talk about it earlier.
Yes.
Like, I just couldn't. 2 weeks ago, we had to let the dog go because he had been battling cancer for the past 2 months. And it's tough because you're – and our vets have been fantastic. I got thank you cards made out for all of them because they've been so great.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to say – the vets don't – they don't want to be the person to tell you, hey, it's time to put your dog down.
Right.
But they also don't want to be the person to tell you, we can do all this stuff. Like, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this. And our vets have been so good about being real. We said from the beginning, we're not going to be those people who cling to the dog for our purposes because we can't let go. We're only going to do treatment for as long as it makes sense for him. So as long as he can be some degree of happy and, you know, the dog, we'll do it. And as soon as that switches, we'll reevaluate. And over the weekend, like, he didn't want to eat and he didn't really want to move around. And this is a dog who, like, goes outside, runs up to people, like, super happy all the time. We went out to him for a walk. He walked, like, 4 or 5 steps. Pete was like, all right, let's go back inside. And it was just all these things where I'm just like, I think you're done, aren't you? And we got back inside, and we called a nice vet that came to the house and, you know, did the deed. And it was probably about as good as doing that can be.
I love that they came to you.
Yeah.
Like, I love that they came to you.
Yeah. And I wish I knew the guy's name and service so I could pimp him out right here, right now. But as far as the other vets go, the Pet Emergency and Specialty Center that's right here in La Mesa has been amazing. the UC Davis Veterinary Center in Serena Valley, and our regular vet, Banfield, which the one that we go to is in Mission Gorge, Dr. Turner, Dr. Applegate, Dr. Benz, the oncologist at PESC, and Dr. Ross at UC Davis, all of whom's names I remember now because I've seen them a lot over the past few months. Thank you for giving us the extra 2 months because they were amazing.
That's cool.
And I literally could not talk about this for...
Dude, I was crying. I couldn't talk about it for days. I was crying, and it's not even my dog.
Yeah. Oh. I got, and everyone else, all friends, family, I got so many messages of people who had spent, 2 minutes or 2 years or 2 days or however, how long much time around, like people who watch the dog when we're on vacation, they have videos and pictures and all this stuff. And it's just, it's so cool to know that, a dog is, there are a million dogs.
Right.
There are a million dogs in the world. I'm looking at one right now. Trevor. Hi, puppy. And
me?
Dogs have such a way of leaving an imprint on people that's better than, they're just better than people.
Yes.
Dogs are just better than people.
They're just better.
Just better.
Even the dumb ones better. Like Trevor.
And people came out of the woodwork to see, have such nice things to say from, years ago.
Yeah.
And it's cool. It's super cool. So that's made it really, it hasn't made it easy. It's been tough. And the other thing I'll talk about is that because I have to go out and I have to be at super happy occasions.
Right.
And people be like, how you doing? I'm like, not great. I'm not going to lie to you. Not doing great. But I'm not going to say that here while I'm at your wedding. So I've been very – and it's part of that one of those things that being in performance and theater, you can access the right emotion at the right time.
Right.
And I can just pretend like everything is A-OK right now. But I could not verbalize, I couldn't talk about the dog, I couldn't talk about what happened, couldn't talk about any of that without just absolutely losing my shit.
Yeah.
So it's been 2 weeks, and now I'm at the point where I can talk about it, so I didn't want to not mention it, so I'm mentioning it now.
And your post that you posted about it was perfection.
I can't read that.
It was perfection. Yeah. It was perfection.
I mean, I can read it, but if I read it, I lose
no,
it.
No, it was good. I lose it. It was really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder about the stuff that your family never talks about. It just wouldn't the idea that we can talk about it, I could put on a face.
Yeah.
But if you ask me about it, I can't talk about it right now.
Yeah.
That same kind of emotional response or I don't know, a self-preservation
just
type of thing.
Yeah.
Cause I just think about all the stuff that over generations of families, they never talk about.
Absolutely. My family has a ton of that stuff.
We can't talk about that.
Yeah, we can't talk about that.
No,
it's too
not, I'm not gonna,
too
we're
raw.
Not going to talk about that.
And it wasn't, it's not that I didn't, first of all, I didn't want to talk about it on the show because I didn't want to totally derail the show with my absolute, falling
Rich,
apart.
Rich, are you okay?
Because I would have fallen apart. It would have totally fallen apart. But when I'm doing other stuff, too, it's I don't want to, there's that thing that we do, and it's sort of what, social media, I feel like, has exacerbated this, where we don't share the tough shit.
Yes.
As much as I think that we should.
Yep.
And I think it's made it worse in real life because people in real life are always trying to seem like everything's A-okay and everything's great. And I think it's good, at least to people that are somewhat close to you, to be like, hey, not so great. And they can be all why. And to access that part of you that has the capacity to sympathize and empathize and help lift people up when they're feeling down.
Yeah. Well, and it helps you feel it too. And you should feel it. It's just the perfect movie, Inside Out, where in order to be happy, sometimes you got to be sad.
Yeah.
And it's perfect. Yeah. I love that movie. It's probably one of my favorite movies.
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie. But I also saw that when you were all moved in, you Instagram storied yourself walking down to the end of your alley, and you're like, oh, and look right here. Bars and shops and stores and everything right here. You said a 6 minute walk or something?
Right around the corner.
Yeah.
It's
awesome.
It's dope. We went out for dinner the first night. To a place that we went to Encontro on the corner there.
That used to be the Clair de Lune?
No,
that used to be the Heaven Sent Desserts.
And then Heaven Sent moved, and then it got bought out by some conglomerate dessert thing, and now it's Figaro. And they're still good, but it's just not the same.
So that's the same company? Figaro is the same company, or no?
It's a different company than Heaven Sent was.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a larger, Heaven Sent was a one-off kind of thing, and now it's one of those long, we have stores everywhere in blah, blah,
blah. But Encontro's got that expensive corner property right there on 30th.
Yeah,
University.
They do.
So, what'd you think?
We've been there before. We just haven't we don't go there a lot.
Right.
I don't know, I really know why.
It's okay.
I don't know why.
It's fine.
It's good.
Yeah.
I like the food.
The food is good. I've never
have a good beer selection and a good wine selection. We just usually walk past it, because maybe because it's right on the corner. I don't know. It's weird. But yeah, we sat and we people watching on 30th and University.
That's good stuff.
Yeah,
is the best. We saw a Black Panther Dodge like that roared up to the intersection. I'm like, that's dope. People like pulling up, like singing in their cars and like full on partying. Uh-huh. And this one couple that walked back and forth in front of the restaurant, like I kid you not, 7 times probably. Like, can I help you? Like, are you lost?
What are you looking for?
What's happening?
$7,000 is that
like,
way.
Like, this place is not that complicated. But we see that a lot because we're in the neighborhood a lot.
People I'm
like,
selling drugs or yeah. I'm selling this woman right here.
People are like, well, it says it's like right over here. I'm like, what are you looking for? I have to help you because you're giving me anxiety because I think you're going to be lost. And you're going to end up at the shady taco place that's like halfway down that no one should ever eat at.
That's one thing I've never had is like walking distance to cool shit. Like I've never had that.
This is the first time it's been. This is the first time it's been this convenient, and it's dangerous.
Yeah,
it's dangerous.
Well, it's awesome though. Like literally, like go anywhere. There's like a bar right down the street here. It's a dive bar right around the corner. Like it's not down the street, but it's like right there.
It's pretty close.
Could maybe walk there, but I could definitely like Uber there or like scooter, whatever. I could get down there. And I just never go. I never go out. Yeah. We never go out. We just sit around and watch TV and do whatever. It's just so we're suburb people. We've been suburb people my whole life. Like I've never been like
you find a weekend
even in like North Park.
Come
like,
hang out in our neighborhood.
When I lived in
two houses, you can crash.
No,
bing bang,
bing bang, boom.
Because I lived over in Talmadge area.
Oh.
For a minute when I had my own place, and that was probably the closest that I'd ever been to like going out and about.
Yeah.
But yeah. I've never been in like the city area. Even like North Park, it's not really city, but it's more.
It's definitely urban.
It's more urban than it is, you know. See, suburbs.
I did the reverse. I lived in a condo in La Mesa for 7 years.
Yeah.
During my mid to late 20s. And now that I'm in my late 30s, I'm like, let's move to North Park where it's happening and all the 20-year-olds are. And it's
right. But like, it's just, you're like, what do you want to do for dinner? I don't know. Let's go get tacos. And you just walk to go get tacos. Like,
yes, we can.
Just right there.
It is nice.
Yes.
It is nice.
We can.
That's one thing I'll be really excited about getting my hip done again is because that was the thing that Andrea and I would do a lot. It was just like,
lots of tacos.
Little date nights or
walk
wherever.
To the taco shop.
Or walk to some restaurant.
Or instead of having a cocktail at home, you just walk down the street to get a cocktail in a bar. Granted, you're going to spend $20 instead of like sitting on your butt, but still, right. Like you go there and you have a drink and you're out. Like
sports,
yeah,
sports bar.
Yes,
a million TVs.
So cool. It's so cool.
Maybe I'll take advantage of that this year. Like generally, I'm like,
so
don't usually watch a lot of sports.
My buddy and I'll you're both invited. I mean, we do it almost every Sunday. My buddy Jason started this pseudo tradition where we go to True North to watch football. So we don't do it every Sunday because we start drinking early in the morning. We end up drinking all day long, and it's just bad. It's like, oh, I've had 10 beers? Oh, my God.
What have I done?
This is like, a problem.
It's like, $60 a week.
I can walk home, which is, and it's the end of that, too. There's some weekends where it's way more than that, too. But it's so much fun.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. Being able to watch all the – especially when you got your fantasy teams and watching all the games and
shooting the shit.
Yeah.
It's just fun being around people. Like, it's just fun being around people.
And my favorite thing about being in a neighborhood like that, I know I've been going on for, like, super, super long, is being known at, bars and restaurants and stuff like that. Because they're like, oh, we know what you want to know. It's just so nice.
Yeah.
It's so, so nice to be known at a restaurant or a bar. It's so nice.
There's a nice feeling of, like, walking. I remember in Seattle.
No!
Exactly. Exactly.
But just, like, you knew – you worked in a restaurant, and there was, like – 6 different restaurants around there, so and bars, and so you knew everybody.
Yeah,
you'd always go to each other's place all the time, and they always hook you up, really nicely, and it's just like it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling going in. The bartender knows you. It's just like
service camaraderie is some of the best camaraderie that there is.
Like, being,
I know how you got it, man. I know
being a regular at a karaoke bar. That's the closest I ever got to that. We went.
That's good though. Man, that's the same type of thing.
Every Sunday night was karaoke night, and we go to karaoke every Sunday.
Where at?
Lamplighter.
Of course.
Yeah. And we went there.
One of the first bars I ever went to.
Of course.
And I knew the karaoke jockey. I knew the bartenders. Mm-hmm. So it was like, we'd all walk in. We'd have like our tables that we'd sit at. It was very sitcom-y.
Yeah.
And so it like makes sense when you're like, these people like go to the bar every week. Yeah, right. I'm like,
Yes, they do. Yeah.
Kind of all do that.
Right. I remember the first time somebody said that to me. They're like, nobody goes to a bar every week. And I was like, as I drink my beer.
Yeah,
and
that's
so cool because like there's a list of like 40 people, pardon and you me. Sign your name up. You're like, oh well, if you're Joe Schmo, you're like, I'm gonna be waiting 40 people,
yeah.
And then you sign your name up, and then three singers later, Jared, come to the stage. Oh yeah, that's me. Excuse me, I have to sing some Eve 6
that
real
happened
quick
to me.
While I get a double Jack Daniels for the price of your single Jack Daniels. Thank you.
That also happened to me at the Lamplighter because we walked in. It was for someone's birthday party. And like, oh, we've been waiting, trying to get him up, blah, blah, blah. And I knew the girl. I was like, excuse me one second. And they called her name immediately next to her, like, how did you do that? I was like, you know.
Skills.
I know people.
No big deal.
It's awesome.
That's why you're nice to everyone.
Life's a binge.
Oh.
It was going to be such a good transition. And then I hit the wrong one.
No, but back it up. I know people.
That's what's up.
Yeah, that's what's up.
This just in.
News time. I only have a few
with
different tidbits, but the first one.
I was gonna do it. I was like,
the first one is big. The first one's a big one. Netflix is releasing 41 originals in the month of September.
Yowzers!
41
movies. TV?
I kind of
both.
Just originals.
Both.
Yeah.
I
movies,
kind of
TV,
realize
comedy.
Now why Netflix has to have
so much stuff.
Yeah.
Why?
Because a network would. Already has a huge catalog of of stuff that they can kind of lean on, rotate in, and in order to be competitive, I think
stuff in syndication.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff, yeah, I think in order to be competitive, like they need to get a lot of their content out there. It's weird and exciting, but yeah, sometimes I don't know. I haven't seen anything lousy.
They've gotten a lot better since they started doing stuff.
The lousiest thing I saw was
like an original Netflix original that was like, meh.
It wasn't really an original. Like that's the thing. Some of them aren't really original.
Some of
them
just
kind of
buy. They call it. Yeah.
It was the Cloverfield,
Paradox,
which was real dumb.
It was fun, but I enjoyed it. As a Cloverfield movie and stuff that was happening didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But neither did the other one either. Like, I mean, like it really
it
like
has a tight. Narrative, at least, like this one was.
I mean, the other one was good.
Like, who and
with
what?
John Goodman was really good.
Well, yeah, 10 Cloverfield Lane. That movie was awesome.
Yeah, but the but how you connect it to
the ending did feel tacked on.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it's better than like let's follow the sentient hand.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
What?
Cloverfield Paradox. When he gets his hand chopped off, they start following because
the
hand
right.
Hand is showing
everything.
Us. I'm like, this is
it's
weird.
It's like, okay, you guys lost
you're a little. And I love like bizarre sci-fi. Like some of my favorite movies in the recent years have been like way out there. Like I love Annihilation. I love. I guess Blade Runner is not super out there. Blade Runner is pretty out there, but I love it. Arrival's really like one of my favorite movies, and they're all very. Oh my god, it's so good.
It's real good.
And it's I will forever. I've never been one of those guys who's really cared about the Academy Awards or like if people didn't get nominated or didn't win this thing. It's like, whatever, like no big deal. But it is absolutely criminal that Arrival was nominated for Best Picture and Amy Adams was not nominated for Best Actress.
Yep.
Because she is that movie.
Okay, I'm going to watch that.
She is that movie.
I've got a lot of time.
That movie's nothing.
True story.
Nothing without her performance.
Yeah. All right, cool.
She is that movie.
Cool.
It's good.
Plus, I just love those stories. Interstellar.
It's so cool.
Contact. Gotta love Contact.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Contact is bomb ass. I love that movie.
If we are all.
This is kind of news. This is something that I had forgotten. I wasn't going to talk about it.
Dope.
Like 2 weeks ago, but you just reminded me of it just now. Uh-huh. There's a shot in Doctor Strange that is the exact same shot as a shot in Contact.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like when she's like in the pod and it's like zipping from one place to another.
Oh, nice.
There's a scene in Doctor Strange when he's like zipping from one part of the. Whatever to another,
right.
And it's literally the exact same effect as
that's awesome.
What happens in Contact because like, it was the same effects studio.
Yeah, when
like
they get pulled,
yeah.
And I'm like, that's awesome. I love when because they're like, hey, we've already got this thing that we made a long time ago. Let's just use that and like retool it.
Dude,
like,
Contact's so dope.
Contact
it's a great movie.
Bomb.
Great movie.
I love that movie.
How long
people
was I
weren't
gone?
Ready.
You didn't go anywhere.
People weren't ready for that ending.
God,
people were not
so
ready for that ending.
Good.
I was ready for it. I thought it was great.
Well, because so many people are like, this is dumb. Like, the aliens are dad. And it's like, no, it's not literally her dad. Like, He's like, she wanted her to be comfortable, so they took the form of her. No, whatever.
How long was she gone?
Gone.
16 minutes and 17 seconds or whatever. How much Saturday do we have? 16 minutes and 17. I was like, dope.
What?
But awesome. They just don't care because they got to keep it a secret.
So out of those 41 originals, guess how many caught my eye?
One.
40.
Yeah. Or I'm going to guess somewhere between me and Jared.
I mean, yeah.
I didn't go with all of them.
Four of them. And I'll tell you what they are. The Chef Show, season two.
Okay.
Okay. You watched either of those?
Yeah, I started watching Chef, and it's...
It's fun.
It's not exactly as good as the movie, but it's still great
to watch. It's a good time.
The feel-good food, feel-good food stuff, I love.
Word.
Like that's,
it's a little name-droppy.
That hits all the – it is – it's very name-droppy.
Yeah.
But it hits all my – oh, this is nice.
I'll forgive them their name-droppy.
I need something nice to watch, you know, because all the other shit I watch is fucking intense and depressing.
Yeah, no, that's a good choice.
It is. It really is. Abstract, The Art of Design, season two.
I don't know what that is.
Watch season one. Abstract, The Art of Design. I'll say it correctly. It follows different creative people in different mediums. So you have like a set designer. You have famous set designer, a famous cartoonist, a famous photographer, and they talk about like how you get there, like how you go from nothing to being amazing and creative in their field. And they're all the episodes are completely different. And they're all completely
different
things.
So they're all like mini documentaries.
Yeah, and they're
that's cool.
Amazing.
I love it.
And if you're a creative person, honestly, inspiring as shit.
Nice.
Like, I watch this and I'm like, I need to work more and harder. Like, I need to be doing this so much more than I am.
See, that's one of those things that, like, why hasn't it shown up on my feed to be like, you should watch this?
That should be right up your alley.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know what's up with
it
that algorithm.
It absolutely should be.
It's bonkers, dude.
What did mine tell me to watch?
It's not always right. It's like, because you watched this. You're like,
well, because you watched is the worst part of it. It's like, because you watched... You know, Stranger Things, you should watch Mean Girls. It's like,
right. Because there's an executive producer that shares the last name with the third cousin that's in the actor of this person.
Or two of them both have hair.
Yeah, like, exactly.
So that reminds me, a little tangent here.
Uh-oh.
Do it.
Tangent train.
We've been talking for a while about the algorithms and how they kind of figure out how to cater their stuff to you. And a lot of that has to do with, the Great Hack as well. You know, these type of data that they collect and then try to cater something specifically to you.
Right.
I mentioned at least in the last episode, if not the ones before that, how much I enjoy The Boys on Amazon Prime. The Boys.
I don't think you mentioned it on air.
You mentioned it in
the
chat.
You mentioned it in chat, but not on air.
The Boys.
Yeah, we'll get there.
So The Boys, it's great. Mm-hmm. Watched it twice. And
now that you've mentioned it, we're all going to get ads for it.
Yes, right? You know how on Netflix you watch something and then like it'll – or even on Hulu it'll do it too. Once it's over, it'll just pick something to kind of play next.
Mm-hmm.
So after The Boys finished, I was like, God, this is so good.
Yeah.
They bring up – the next thing that just instantly starts playing is Todd McFarlane's Spawn from HBO looks like –
Original,
15, 20 years ago.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Like a long time ago.
Yeah. I loved that show.
I might like it. But it comes up and it looks so dated. It's not
four
letterboxed.
Yeah,
4x3. And it doesn't look good. And not only that, it's not Amazon Prime's product.
Right.
You know,
this is a missed
opportunity. Right. Yeah, that you would like.
Yeah.
But maybe they don't, like, maybe... I mean, it's cool that they don't care to be like, we're only going to show you Netflix stuff. Like, Netflix, like, always
Netflix
puts
almost
Netflix
always.
Up.
Here's the newest Netflix thing.
I mean, it makes sense.
But it's cool that they're like, oh, you like superhero stuff? Well, check out this other super. Like, not straight superhero stuff, like, kind of off kiltered superhero stuff.
Comic
book-y. Here's another off kiltered superhero kind of story in Spawn where it doesn't follow the same narrative.
It makes sense.
And in that way.
It's cool that they didn't, like, care that it's HBO. Yeah.
That way, I love that Amazon does that because they do that. Haha, doo-doo. They'll almost always recommend something relevant and good to watch next.
Nice.
The thing that I hate about Amazon Video, at least because all the interfaces are different depending on what you're watching it on, whether it's on, you know, a PS4, or Xbox, or on your smart TV or whatever. Like, because I've been watching Hard Knocks, which I'll talk about later. It doesn't, when there's a new episode, it doesn't just pop up in the front. I have to search for it.
Yes.
I have to search for it.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's stupid.
HBO
like,
does the same thing.
This is a new episode. Yeah. Just put it up there in the front. I'm like,
HBO does the same thing. Or if you're current, like we were binging Sex and the City or True Blood or whatever she was going through,
mm-hmm.
and like it doesn't just show up like, there's not a continue watching on the HBO now.
Or it'll be like the last season that you finish. Right. Like, hey, watch this. It's like, no, I'm done with that.
Show me we continue.
You know, I was just watching this, right?
Netflix has it right. Just copy Netflix and be like, good job, Netflix. We're going to copy your interface. And like, good on you.
For real.
Yeah.
Between Two Ferns, the movie.
Yep.
What?
Intrigued by that.
I don't know how.
I don't know either.
How it's going to work.
That's going to work.
Unless he has a really good guest, and it's Zach that for an hour and a half.
If it's his baby.
Love Between Two Ferns. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you've ever talked about it on the show or if we've ever talked about it at all.
We've never talked about it.
Just the way he – and I know the guests, like, they have an idea that – they know he's going to be weird.
Yeah.
But they don't know what he's going to say. And almost everyone is just right on it with the funny, and they can just play right back at him and – like Barack Obama on that show.
It was money.
It was so money. I think him and Natalie Portman are like two of my favorite episodes because they both just they cut so deep.
I don't know.
Zach.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen more than the Obama one, but I remember thinking like this is funny and Zach Galifianakis is funny.
Yeah, he's
just
funny.
He's
a funny guy.
So I'm assuming that's all his baby, like his creative.
I would hope so.
Thing and I would so imagine, I'd be curious to see what he does with a movie. In a movie format.
If you've ever seen Gordon Keith,
the name rings a bell.
He's like a press junket guy. He does like a short little interview show with like celebrities about whatever. Uh-huh. But it's always just like straight faced BS. Mm-hmm. And that show, Between Two Ferns, reminds me of like that guy who does that for like real.
For real.
For real. But it's like he literally has like his show where he's like, oh, okay, we're going to have Will Ferrell coming on and Will Ferrell's next. And like they think, oh, we're going to talk about Elf because that's what's coming out or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's like, so Will, I hear you have gout. And like just completely random made up like improv BS, and then everyone just goes with it. Oh yeah, you know I've had gout since I was 6 years old, and like it's just constant good stuff. So if you look up any Gordon Keith interview, it's fantastic. It reminds me of Between Two Ferns.
Right on. Yeah, cool. And the fourth and final one that I'm intrigued by is a new Bill Burr comedy special called Paper Tiger.
Nice.
And I haven't seen anything other than F is for Family. I haven't seen anything new from Bill Burr because he's kind of like
great.
As far as like mainstream famous comics go, he's probably the most likely to say whatever the fuck he wants and not really care about how it's received.
Yep.
So I'm always interested in seeing whatever he has to put out.
I love that Netflix is now the comedy zone.
Amazon's trying. They got Jim Gaffigan.
Really?
They have an Amazon exclusive Jim Gaffigan special. Yep.
Interesting.
They're trying to compete.
Why do you keep saying?
Why is this funny? I love Jim Gaffigan.
He's doing that voice already.
Hot pocket.
Is he gonna talk like this the whole time?
Oh, it's so good.
I have more.
Yes.
Yes. Let me pull this up. Hang on. Open.
Open.
More details. Speaking of streaming, more details about Disney Plus.
Indeed.
For no extra charge, at least up front. They're going to be offering 4K HDR streaming with Dolby Atmos sound.
That's impressive.
At the basis price.
Yeah, that's cool.
And they're just like, they're just coming out swinging hard. BJ's pissed. BJ does not like this.
You know I'm going to get it. You know I'm going to get it.
I'm going to fucking get it.
I'm going to get it and because I want to watch ESPN and I'm going to want to watch.
All the trailers look good as fuck.
I
want to
watch Marvel movies.
And I want to watch She-Hulk.
They keep announcing more stuff like She-Hulk, exactly.
Oh, so that's a new original?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'll get it. I'm going to rail against that type of like, you know, that.
The urge to hate.
Well, accumulation capitalism. Mm-hmm. You know, that type of thing where it's just narrowing the field of how many people
we
have
are
money.
Disney. Yeah. We are the singularity. You know,
we're going to own everything, yeah. And that's just a problem with our society.
You know? Have you seen like the promo trailer for Disney Plus?
No,
I have not.
So I've seen like the promo trailer. It's like Disney Plus, and it starts with the word Disney that everyone knows, and then like the thing's coming backwards, and then it lands at the end and poof, turns into a plus sign. I'm like, okay, I see what you did there.
Cute,
But anyway, it starts with that, and then it's like, you know, epic music playing in the background, like all the things you love, and then it shows like Iron Man, and then it shows Star Wars, and then it shows Captain America, and then it shows some more Star Wars. And then I'm like, where's the fuck? Where's the fucking Disney?
Simpsons.
They oh, yeah, they show you the Simpsons, too.
It's like and I'm actual like, Disney.
I'm like, where's the Disney shit?
OG Disney IP.
And, like, all the shows that are coming out are all Marvel and Star Wars, mm-hmm. like, all of them. And it's like...
That's what's hot.
I'm like, you don't have...
Show me Song of the South. That's what I want to see.
Well, maybe, oh, but, like, where's Fox and the Hound? And...
Yeah, or
like
the
where's
old,
Fox and the Hound, or right. Sword in the Stone,
or the old animated
Beauty
Robin
the Beast,
Hood.
Or any of them.
But you
them.
Get live action Lady and the Tramp, Jared.
I mean, I hope that they do that. Or
at least they're using real dogs. Yeah.
Or they're being
but I saw the actual. Have you seen the actual trailer for it yet?
No, I haven't seen the trailer for it.
Oh, their mouths move, dude.
Oh, disturbingly.
Well, I don't know how you can do it with a real dog so and not make it look like a not real dog mouth.
So it's disturbing.
There's a very like there's a very narrow line to walk here where it can look. Good.
Right.
I don't know if anyone's found it.
Right.
As far I mean, okay.
Just
I'm wrong.
Milo and no. Otis it or Homeward Bound it where it's just, they talk and they're just animals.
Right. Their mouth doesn't
move. You
can
understand that
Narnia.
He's talking. Right.
Narnia. Narnia does it pretty good. Yeah. I mean, you know, he doesn't look like super, super real, like not photo real, but you buy that he's, you buy
the
expressions.
The lion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just expressive enough and the mouth moves not totally like a lion's and not like a person's, almost just right.
I don't remember Jungle Book.
When they move and then there's
but
like...
But I don't remember hating it.
I don't remember hating Jungle Book either.
Did I didn't see move? It. I didn't see it.
Yes?
They have to move.
They did.
And that one's like... That one's not a musical, right?
No.
There's some songs, but
it's like
not
underscoring.
Musical.
And there's like he sings...
There's some straight up songs.
Be Like You.
Yeah.
He does sing that.
I yeah. Be like
it's Christopher Walken. It's good.
Oh, he's so good. Yeah, it's good. And they kind of... They hint at... I can't remember the name Baloo's song, but they hadn't had it.
Yeah,
they don't really like, do it. Do
he's
it.
Like humming it and like.
Bare necessity.
Yeah, he doesn't like straight up. It's not a straight up.
But like,
oh,
I
man,
feel like
gotta have that.
I feel like
anyway,
because they don't because I don't remember it. I feel like it wasn't terrible and it wasn't magical.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
I mean the Christopher Walken as King Louis is probably the best part of the movie by far, and the most memorable part easily for me. Yeah,
it's
the only part I remember. Literally, that's the only thing I remember. That and I remember thinking. When Mowgli puts his head up against Raksha, the wolf, and I was like, wow, that CG's good. Because like, that looked real. Like, he's touching a real fucking wolf right yeah. there. And that's the only two things I remember from that movie.
Oh, it's good times. Good times.
I got more news.
Do tell.
I'm kind of lumping these together, but in I can't believe this is happening, but I'm totally, totally not surprised that this has happened or is happening. The much maligned movie service, MoviePass...
I have still
two,
a thing.
I have two separate stories about MoviePass. The first one says that MoviePass exposed, quote-unquote, thousands of credit card numbers, unencrypted customer card numbers. So if you have your information still in MoviePass, you should probably check that out. And the second one that came up only a couple days ago, MoviePass database exposes 161 million records.
Now, what do you mean?
So someone saw the first one and goes, oh, I bet their information is vulnerable. And they went in and just went in and figured out all your shit.
You got all of that stuff.
All your stuff.
Yay, MoviePass.
Still, that was
just
a great
shut
summer.
Shut down.
Thanks
like,
for that
what
summer
are
love
you
and
doing?
That summer of movie love.
There's nobody left in the building to turn it off.
They all ran.
There's nobody left to shut the shit down.
They're at the Fire Festival with... Ja Rule. Where is Ja?
Billy Face. dude, I saw the funniest meme about the live action Lady and the Tramp. Uh-huh. And it said, my favorite part of Lady and the Tramp is when those two old Italian dudes try to get the dogs to fuck in the alley.
I almost spit beer all over your microphone.
Give us some spaghetti. You
know, I know. Come on.
What do you like? You know what you need? You need an eggs benedict. Come out here to make her an eggs benedict.
Oh, dude, that's God. A deep cut right there.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Who wants an eggs benedict? That's what I make.
That's a deep cut.
I love it.
Oh, good times.
Last but certainly not least. Sorry, I knew you were going to push the button.
Nope,
there.
You're good.
I figured we should put this in news just because a new Star Wars teaser happened the other day, and there was much speculation.
Everyone's freaking out.
Let's
see
what it means.
She's turning to the dark side.
She's got like, a red lightsaber.
Remember the last movie when she went down and saw like some evil shit
nothing
going
happened.
On, too? Yeah, guess what? That's probably another vision that she's
probably.
Having. Yeah. But she does look pretty dope holding that double, like, bendy thing. That...
Did it look kind of stupid to you?
Yes.
It looked
only in the fact that, like,
yeah, the...
yeah.
But apparently that's straight out of the, like, the Clone Wars cartoon or something. So it's like a real thing that they've already established.
Yeah.
BJ's like, what are you talking about?
I think I've seen like a take on it. Like it wasn't like the original thing, but somebody did something vroom, and like this thing comes out, and so it's like protective, like a little thing or something. Or
no, it's a, it's like the from she episode one, like the double sided one, but it like it flips
not
out like
that makes
a switch,
the haft on
but
it,
it flips out like a switchblade. Yeah. So you have like one half like this, and another half like, is like
oh, I think I must have saw like a parody of it.
Oh,
that
like
has
a Swiss Army knife. Yes,
that's what I saw.
But it looked kind of stupid to me.
That's the only part that it's like, meh. But like when they showed us extra stuff where I was like, ooh, when they when you see all the ships pop out of light speed and there's the Imperial fleet there, I'm like, that looks dope.
It's going to look
then,
cool.
And it'll then look. When her and Kylo like are getting it like lightsaber getting battle
on.
that could be taken many different ways. But
I do really try, man. Oh my gosh, somebody needs to do that. Put that song over that battle.
Yeah.
I'd love it.
But anyway, you see them like have a lightsaber fight, or what that is the makings of one.
He can Adam Driver can walk and turn on a fucking lightsaber. He looks badass in
dude,
that.
I love Adam Driver.
I
like,
love Adam
I'm
Driver.
I'm seriously like he's like rising up in my favorite actor
absolutely
category
he
quickly.
Good. He good.
That boy good. Boy, yeah, he good.
He sounded like. He sounded like Roscoe Coltrane.
Get them dukes.
Flash, hold on to your butt now. We gonna get them dukes.
Ah, man. That's it. That's the news, maybe.
Oh, good times.
And that's the way it was.
Well, all that being said, we just get to dive right into our commercial break.
Do it.
I was like, you want to say something before?
Question mark? Who wrote a question mark there?
Well, with that, we will take a quick commercial break. After these messages, we'll be right back.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? All those nights when you've got no lights, the check is in the mail, and your little angel hung the cat up by its tail, and your third fiancé didn't show.
Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You wanna be where you can see, our troubles are all the same. You wanna be where everybody knows your name.
Roll out of bed, Mr. Coffee's dead, the morning's looking bright. Your shrink ran off to Europe and didn't even write. And your husband wants to be a girl.
Be glad there's one place in the world where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You wanna go where people know people are all the same. You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Should I grab you another beer there, Trent?
Yeah, actually. Might as well. So I started to watch today, because I was off today. So I got off early yesterday and then was off today.
That's what's up.
Yeah, that's dope. And I started to watch the season three of Glow.
Oh, right on.
Dude, the opening of season three is magical. It's where they're like about to open their show in Vegas. If you've been following the show at all, they go to Vegas,
to Vegas
live. They're about to open the show for the first time, and there's like a TV promotion from the local news, and they're like, oh, let's watch Challenger launch or whatever. And like, they have
they have
Liberty Bell, like, oh, America's great, and da da da. And Alison Brie's character, Zoya the Destroyer, is this Russian chick. She's like, oh, puny Americans can't do space flight.
No.
Russia knows how to do it. Like, it's hardcore.
No.
She's like literally like staring into the camera, like spewing out like venom about how Russia's better at space than America. And then like Liberty Bell's just staring at the TV like wide-eyed in tears. And then she looks at the TV and it's like,
Oh God, dude.
Like, it makes...
That's awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
That's the way to do a joke about a tragedy.
Yeah.
Because, like, as soon as you know it's... You're like, you see,
right.
You see
exactly.
The entire joke.
Yeah.
You see the whole thing play out.
And you already know that her character is, like, this Russian anti-American,
exactly,
like...
dude.
Stupid American.
But see, and there's an example of why I like... Or when I can, like... a property or studio or story playing off of your prior knowledge.
Yes.
Like, that's right. When it's done well, like that. Like,
right.
That's
because
nice.
As
that's
soon
elegant.
As you see that they're doing a promo,
you're
and
thinking,
it's with the Challenger launch.
Oh, no.
Like,
oh,
you're like, oh, I know what happens with the Challenger. It's going to explode. Yeah. And then, like, Liberty Bell's like, yay, all happy about it. And then as soon as she starts spewing it, like, because it's completely turning the tragedy into a joke,
yeah,
but not really into a joke.
I was watching the this only
it's fucking magic.
Sort of a tangent.
It's good stuff.
I was watching the commentary for Avengers Endgame because I haven't watched the movie yet because I'm waiting for Lindsay to have time so we can both watch it again.
Right.
Okay.
But they're talking about sort of that trick where you use the audience's knowledge to help whatever scene or joke or anything that you're doing.
Yep.
Because it's fun for an audience to watch a character that doesn't know what they know. And to watch the character learn what they know.
Yep.
And like that whole experience sort of connects you a little bit harder, tighter, faster to whatever it is that you're watching. I'm like, they're right. That when it's done well, it works really well.
Yeah. Ugh, dude, season 5 of The Wire. It's like pays off on the whole 5 years or more of the storyline to a point you're like, oh, that's so good. That's so good. And it's just like literally a 5 second scene, bing, and then you're like, it's just like, oh no, that's so good.
That's because that show, you watch like the same story from a different perspective the whole time, right?
No, I mean you're watching a story from different perspectives at the same time, but the story progresses, so you it's not
oh,
like
oh so you're not watching like
one
and while the cops were doing this
right no
these, okay
no which happens in a lot of stuff.
I thought that's how that show was, but basically, so like season one you're I don't know who you're with, but season one, you're with the cops trying to solve whatever. And then season two, you're watching the gang
whatever. You're with the cops and the gang in season one.
But
and then
time
season
progresses.
Season two is like they move it to another location. They move it to the docks. So there's like this union laborer type of angle. And then crime of how the drugs get into through the docks and such and some of that. And then season three, they move into the schools, and then they move into the newspapers.
Right.
And then I'm skipping. Oh, and then they get into the politics, too, in one of the seasons.
Yes.
It's so...
The politics.
Good. Yeah.
When Baltimore was in the news recently, because Trump was saying no one would want to live in Baltimore, they have animals there, and it's rat-infested. And,
is this before or after he wanted to nuke hurricanes?
That was
after.
Before.
Oh, okay.
I think it was before.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
He probably wanted to nuke those before.
He said
that
before.
Right. It said, yeah.
But,
but it made me think, I should watch The Wire again.
Yeah.
That shit's good.
So going back to the whole like streaming platform thing,
mm-hmm.
So Netflix is really, really good at getting you to binge their own shit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So if you're watching The Office, let's say, mm-hmm. and the episode ends, it will then pop up, next episode starting in 30 seconds, mm-hmm. and then it starts a timer counting down 30 seconds.
But here's some other things that you can look at.
Just literally there's a timer for 30 seconds. They might show a trailer or something, nothing, but there's 30 seconds of time.
Mm-hmm.
as soon as an episode of an original show on Netflix ends, as soon as it ends, it goes next episode starting in, and it's like 3 seconds. Literally, like, instead of a timer counting down, yep. It's this like load bar.
Almost
and it just
immediate.
And then yeah. The next episode goes. Yeah. So I'm just like, okay, I can watch another one. Before mm-hmm. you even have time to think about it, mm-hmm. I'm like, you fucking sneaky bastards.
And sometimes they're like, they had just done a really nice like exit of the scene with right. the credits roll to a really good song.
Yeah.
And then you're like, yeah, you just want to like
yeah.
enjoy
Take
the song. And then like,
boop,
next episode.
Mm-hmm. And Netflix. So... And so I use my PlayStation to watch Netflix,
mm-hmm.
and I have an auto shut off on my controller, mm-hmm. which is, I don't know, 15 minutes maybe. And so if I want to like turn on the controller
it
to stop it,
too.
It takes longer for my controller to turn on for me to exit out than mm-hmm. it does for the episode to start. And so they're fucking yeah. sneaky bastards.
Yeah.
And I wanted to watch that many, but I just it was really apparent that I'm like
you felt manipulated.
So watching
really
watching Glow.
To, yeah.
So how many did you watch?
Five out of 10, I think.
What are you thinking so far?
I love
you want to see
I love that show.
Right on.
I love yeah. that show. It is really really good. I even just almost posted. I was like you should watch this show.
Yeah,
like everyone says that about everything, yeah. but like it's really good. Like, and they tackle so many different things, and it's really cool to see a female led show without them being like, hey guys, it's a female led show, wink wink, nudge nudge, check it out,
right.
we're talking about women's stuff. But like the way that they do is really well done. They tackle like pregnancy issues, and they tackle like eating disorders, and it's just really good.
The sexuality
I'm really glad you mentioned that. Because like, I have a segue.
Yeah, okay.
A
yeah.
segue for that.
Please do.
Because last week we talked about that shot in Avengers Endgame where it's like, here's all the lady superheroes.
Right.
And how for us it felt like kind of inorganic and et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
I was talking with Lindsay about this, and I don't know if this happened first, like we talked about it first, or if I watched it first, but I also watched the extras and stuff.
Okay.
And then a whole segment about the women of Marvel and how they all like and how they all felt about filming that. And it made me realize that women, not just the women who are working in it, obviously they have a different perspective because they're working on it, but women watching it have a completely different perspective than we have. And they probably just don't, they probably just won't feel the way that we feel because they're women. Because they're so used to seeing, oh, here's all the dudes all together.
Right.
And that's what they see all the time, and they don't think that's weird. So when they see all the women together, it's like, oh, that's the way it should be. Because they would do that they would do that for the men, too. And I'm like...
Perspectives, huh. Everything.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
You are right.
Yeah.
That is right.
And I think that kind of appreciating others' perspectives is like a real valuable tool.
Part of the solution?
Yes, yeah. Very much so. Very, very much
yeah,
so.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
So that made me stop and think. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right.
That's valid.
And right. to hear all the actresses talk about, like, this is so cool to, like, be surrounded by women and be in this, like, really cool moment and because this is something that just we just never get to do. And I'm like...
I'm sorry, I poo-pooed mm-hmm. it.
Yep, yep, yep. You're right. You are absolutely right. You should get to do that.
And it, yes, that is correct. They should be glad and happy that it's doing it. But I still don't feel bad that I like poo-pooed it when it happened.
Well, because
I feel bad that I poo-pooed it.
Because for me as a yeah. as a man in the era that we're living in now,
yeah.
like it to me it was and. I hate the word woke, but as a fairly woke person,
mm-hmm.
like it to me was like, okay, I get it. And so like, I understand that their perspective is completely different than mine, but yeah. from my perspective, it was very heavy handed.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't feel organic.
Right. right. It did not. Because it's not. Because at that time, it is not an organic yeah. thing. Whereas a show like Glow that's about ladies of wrestling, like there are male storylines in this thing, but it's a female show, and yeah. it tackles female issues in a very real way and in a very digestible way that mm-hmm. doesn't make you go like, come on.
Yeah.
Like that scene in Avengers
and that,
did.
Right. And their yeah. their perspective is it doesn't matter if it's well done or not.
Right. No, that's true.
And I'm like, I get that.
Right. That's very true.
Because a lot of – I talked to – this wasn't recently. This was a while ago. It was after the new Ghostbusters came out, which I still have not watched.
Ever?
I haven't watched it, yeah. Not like out of spite or anything. Right. I just haven't like it's not.
You'll
like,
enjoy.
I
like,
oh, I don't
you'll enjoy it when you watch it, and then you won't watch it again.
But I've heard from yeah, and that's what I felt like will probably be the case because so many of these remakes and stuff. I was like, yeah, I'll watch it, but I don't think about it afterwards.
I think the movie is fun.
I think about things afterwards, solely because of this show.
Yes.
Like, if I had watched Aladdin and didn't have to talk about it here,
right,
I would not have thought about it again. Exactly. And probably the same thing with Lion King.
Exactly.
You're like, but because I have to let people know.
The people must know. They must know.
It's true.
But a lot of the women that I talk to, and these are women who are in theater, women who are in L.A. trying to be actresses and stuff like that, too. They're like, look, we're just glad that they're just trying to do all-female anything.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got you.
No, it's true.
For real.
Yep. Ocean's 8, same thing. Yeah.
Yep. I hear that.
Bring it on. So Glow tackles that very, very well. In not like a heavy-handed kind of way. Just in like a real like, the identity stuff where like Sheila the wolf, like I just saw her not be the wolf for the first time, which is crazy to think about. But like, dope. This is cool. Like,
yeah.
And so far so good. Like it's just that shows so far like it's rare. Well, it's not rare. But when you find a show where season one like gets you on board, and then season two is better than season one, and then season three is so far just as good as like season two,
I would say that's rare.
Because like if you look at a show, I don't know, like The Office, season one gets you on board and gets you introduced to the characters, and then it gets good, better. They hit their stride, they're in their prime, and then it just goes a little too far, and it's like okay, and it never gets bad, but it goes too far. Or like that 70s show is another one that I really enjoyed from the beginning, and it just got better and better until people left, and then it kind of went too far. Because it had the problem at the time where it was like one of the few hit shows on TV. Mm-hmm. So like, let's milk this for all it's worth.
Yeah.
And it's like, you guys should have probably gone.
10 seasons?
I think it went 11? 9.
Oh, okay.
But like, they
should have. How many more ways can we say, what you talk about, Willis?
Should have ended when Eric left.
They should have gone 5, 6 seasons.
When they graduate high school, when that should have ended.
And so, when they hit their stride in those middle seasons, and then like, you know, they carry that with them for a couple of years, mm-hmm. I can get down with them doing 8 seasons or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if, so this show, season one's real good. Season two's better. Season three so far is just as good as season two that I remember. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man. It's rare to find a show these days that just keeps getting better. Because, like, even Stranger Things, season one was magic. Season two was meh. Yeah. And season three was real good. But it's like you had that weird season two in the middle
season
where it's like.
Still the best by far.
But they really get into a lot more character development in season three for sure. They dive into a lot of the characters way more.
Right.
Which is cool. Gives a lot more depth. I mean, I'm sorry. In Glow.
Oh, in Glow. Okay.
Yeah. I think it's more because if it's a little bit of a drama, you know, and it reminds me kind of Orange is the New Black in that way that like you kind of like as the seasons go on, you learn a lot more about each character.
I fell off of that show.
I did too. Season 3, I think, is the last one I saw. But I think
sounds right.
6 seasons?
That sounds right.
But if it's a little drama that's funny.
Right.
Then it's a little easier to do that. But like on 70s Show or some of those other sitcoms, it's harder to do that.
Right.
So.
I call it the Ted problem, as in How I Met Your Mother.
Okay.
I started to hate the main character in Orange is the New Black. And it makes it a little bit harder to watch.
You started to hate Ted in How I Met Your Mother?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
By when?
Ted sucks.
By when?
I want to say season 6.
Okay.
So after I thought it should have ended.
We need to get Doc Knox back on here to
like, and it starts to get kind of self-referential where he's like, am I a bad dad for like telling you these things? I'm like, yes you are.
Yes.
Like, absolutely.
Yes.
But like all these things that he does like in his like single life. And there's all these like theories about how like, well, Ted's telling the story from his perspective, so it's probably not totally accurate because he's going to play up like, you know, the hotness of his girlfriend and it's not whatever and blah blah blah. But like Ted's kind of a dick. And not in, like, the fun ha-ha way that Barney is.
See, that's one of those shows, like Entourage, where I watched it when it came out, and then I think I binged it once after when it was over,
mm-hmm.
where I'm like, it lives in my mind as one of my favorite shows of all time.
Oh,
I love that show.
I love that. I love
it. But I'm afraid that if I go and watch it now,
it's going to be ruined for you.
It's going to not be good.
Don't do it.
Right? Because, like...
I haven't watched it since it ended.
Because, like... Barney, in and of himself, is a problem.
Yeah.
Like, a problem.
It's a problem.
Like, he's the biggest womanizer on the earth.
Yeah.
But Ted isn't that far behind.
Nope.
Like, I mean, he's lovable and likable and stuff, but, like, the way they handle women in that show, like, thank God that Lily's there, because she's, like, the most woman-power woman on the face of the earth.
Lily and Marshall are the best characters on that show.
Right. And so, enough. Like, thank God she's there. But, mm-hmm. like, it's just – I don't want that show to be ruined by my modern eyes of, yeah. like, being yeah. quote-unquote
no.
woke.
No,
like,
no you're but absolutely that, right.
That's the price you pay, I think.
Absolutely.
Like, we
right.
all pay it. Like, oh, geez. You know, like
– Song of the South did not age well.
No. It did not. But I think of, oh. like, you know, the old Calgon commercials. I don't know if you remember those. Mm. Ancient Chinese secret. Yeah, you know, and that's like, yeah, the Chinese laundry. Yeah, uh-huh. You know, there's lots of yeah. things in society that like are fine as wine at the time.
Yeah,
but like, man,
ooh, I like that.
10 years later, 20 years later, and then all of a sudden, like, fine what was I thinking?
And I don't think How I Met Your Mother is like that bad. Like it's you just like you said,
offensive.
You watched all of Entourage, and yeah. it's not that bad. Yeah. Like they're womanizers yeah. to an extent, but like they're not like. Drugging women or like beating women or doing inappropriate right. things in right. in locked rooms and like all these things.
They're just kind of not great dudes.
Just they're yeah. from yeah. the male perspective. It's like it's a show from the male perspective about yeah. males that are yeah. hooking up with chicks, bro.
Get drinks and chicks and houses
and
so cars.
Like of course that doesn't age well.
Right.
Yeah. But it's not an awful show. No. Like they're not yeah. evil bastards.
It's just not
like,
Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah. Just you like know. Ted's not out there like being evil to anybody. It's right. just like right. well Barney's kind of a womanizing douche. Like yep.
Mm-hmm. The honeymooners. So, like, one right. of these days,
yeah, I'm gonna
right
punch
to the
you.
Moon.
I'm punch you
oh,
right
hit,
in the face.
You're gonna hit your wife. That's funny.
I would love to find
question
the,
mark.
That's my bush. Is that what it was called?
What?
Because that's what that. One of these days, I'm gonna punch you right in the face. That
what?
Was, that
what?
Was the. Do you remember? Okay.
Oh, the cartoon.
No, it no. was. It was a live action Comedy Central show.
That's
that,
my
right,
Bush?
Yeah, right after Bush got elected.
I thought it was a cartoon.
No, it was this live action.
Okay.
But that was like, just I'm, like, so you remember the Honeymooners?
Yeah.
Right to yeah. the moon, I'm going to, yeah, yeah, so, but in that one, and I think it might have been done by.
Right in the kisser.
By the mm-hmm. South Park people.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was a live action.
Trey
and
Parker
it was like,
and Matt Stone.
And so it was, so that, yeah, every, like at the end of every episode, he's like, oh, one of these days, Laura, I'm going to. And then the crowd would say it with him, like, I'm going to punch you in the face. And the whole crowd would say it. And it was just so dark and like.
That's yeah. fantastic.
But those have disappeared. Like,
I haven't seen
anything like any hint, any sniff of any of those.
Yeah. Domestic violence is not a joke anymore.
Well, I mean, clearly it was just like.
Not.
Parody joke, you yeah. know, but still, like, I think it was more political that they've disappeared.
Like, I would be surprised if even like the bluest of shows touched that with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah,
like I could imagine.
Well, that was before Me Too. I mean, that was well before Me Too.
I could imagine maybe F is Her Family getting away with it because it's a cartoon set in a very different time.
Right.
That's already very blue, so they could probably get away with it. I can't think of any other way that could be done. That people would be like, haha, that's funny.
Well, I don't
right
know.
Right to the moon, Alice.
Right to the moon.
Yeah.
Or you're going to hit your wife.
Yeah, definitely the humor was
okay.
like how ridiculous it was and how like out right. of, you know, like, oh boy, that doesn't really wash. but it's a callback to the Honeymooners.
Mm-hmm.
So. Do either of you have Hulu and use Hulu regularly?
I watch King of the Hill on Hulu every day.
Okay.
I have Hulu. I don't use it
have you
super
seen
regularly.
Have you seen the ad or the trailer for Live in front of a studio audience?
Nope.
Or live from a studio audience?
I saw the like nameplate for it, but I haven't seen the trailer for it.
So they basically get modern actors.
Oh, wait.
They get modern actors to recreate a
yes.
TV show
oh, wait a minute. Now,
from the past.
Okay,
yeah.
Because I did see, I don't know if we talked about it or not,
mm-hmm.
they did a live redoing of The Jeffersons and All in
All
the
Family. Yes.
That was a lot of fun to
I
watch.
I think we did mention
Did you
that.
Watch those?
I did watch them. I watched them both, and I enjoyed them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I wanted to watch it, so I turned it on, I don't know.
So they do the original scripts like this
yeah.
one was?
Yep.
It's the same scripts?
It's exactly what you're talking about. It's the same thing that you watched.
Okay.
They did the All in the Family one first, and then they think they did the Jeffersons right after it.
Mm-hmm.
I did not make it through the All in the Family one.
Mm.
Oh, really? Like, you just wasn't funny? Or
because I wanted to watch All in the Family.
Like, right.
Like,
right.
Like, mm-hmm. props to Woody Harrelson for being there and Alyssa Milano for trying their best. But Woody Harrelson is not Archie Bunker. Like, he is
not
Archie Bunker.
No.
And, like,
Carol
I just
O'Connor's
couldn't.
Money.
I could not get over it. I was just like, you're trying. I think you said it before, Rich. Like, it's not good when you can see somebody acting.
Right.
You know?
And I'm acting!
And I can see Woody Harrelson, like, trying to do a New York accent and trying to be...
Ah, jeez, eat it.
Like, he just tried too hard, and it just wasn't good. And who did they have as Meathead? I forget. Anyway, I just didn't... I couldn't get through it. And I was hoping that the Jeffersons one would be better, but I didn't make it that far.
It was just fun, gimmicky. Like, it was just gimmicky. It was fun to watch. And like, you recognize, like, I recognize, like, the scripts of, like, oh.
But yeah, they did iconic episodes.
But that's a good callback for that same thing, because there's so much stuff that was on the All in the Family. And even in those episodes, they're like, shit, they don't say that today.
Right. But what was cool about that show is that they knew the things they were saying were, like, if he says, like, I'm going to punch you in the face, it was, like, them going, like, you're not supposed to punch him in the face. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to say some racist thing, but the only reason he said that was to say, like, you shouldn't be like Archie.
Right, right. Archie's not a hero.
Right.
Right.
Like, everyone else in the show kind of gets it, but, like, you know, Edith's all mousy and quiet and stuff, and it's like they kind of hint that there might be maybe some hints of, like, Archie being, like, whatever. But because of the way that Edith acts, and so it's just that show was – ahead of its time in the fact that it's like, we're going to call out ourselves as a people that you shouldn't be doing these things, but we're going to put them in our show for that reason.
Right. Mm.
And so it's different than, like, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Right.
Like,
right. Yeah.
One of these days.
That's the difference, yeah, between Matt and Trey Parker, Matt Stone and Trey Parker.
Right.
Then who's the guy, damn it? The famous TV producer who did All in the Family and the Jeffersons.
He was even on that show.
Right.
They yes. wheeled him out in his right. like old whiteness.
Damn it! I'm mad that I can't think of his name right now.
They wheeled him out in his old whiteness.
He did Maude and
yeah, because Jimmy Kimmel was like the host of the thing, and he's like, "All right, guys, I'm Jimmy Kimmel, and I have young talk show interview host energy, and we want to thank."
Norman Lear.
See, I just had to like throw it at you. Yeah, we had to thank Norman Lear for putting on these shows. Hey, Norman, what do you think about seeing these shows live on stage again? It's like, okay, back to Jimmy, please. Get back to Jimmy Kimmel. Like, let's get this thing rolling.
Getting old is tough.
No way to suck the life out of a live theater audience than putting some old guy on screen for 30 seconds going like, well, I do remember that like this show was It was like, ugh, just start the fucking show.
Yeah, they did that live. That's right. They did both of those live.
Yeah.
Like, which was another kind of fun gimmick.
Yeah, it was cool. It just made me go, like, you guys aren't as good as the originals.
Nah.
Like, yeah.
That reminded me of that. So I've been watching King of the Hill, a lot of King of the Hill.
Yeah.
And King of the Hill talks about some real shit. Like, and they'll joke about it in a way that's, like, kind of elegant and good. Where it's not like, oh, I want to punch you in the face. But you're like, wow, like, we just talked about dementia just now, and that's interesting. So there's an episode where Hank's barber is, like, clearly having dementia and, like they say, losing touch.
Right.
And he gives Hank a really bad haircut, and the whole joke of it is, like, Hank trying to get his haircut, like, y'all want it the same way that I've had it every 2 weeks for the past 25 years.
Dang it, it's a better Hank Hill than mine.
And it's really funny.
He's been watching it a lot.
I've been watching it a lot. God dang it, Bobby.
Andrea's going to see, now that's a good Hank Hill. Yours sucks.
Bobby, stop
dancing.
You just got to watch it.
Yeah. But it's so funny. But it's like, this episode's about dementia. Like, that's some dark shit.
Dude, no kidding,
and
man.
And they do it in a way that's really funny.
Yeah.
Dude, and I mentioned it before, but that whole episode where he puts on the dress and acts like Lenore is a fucking deep, deep episode.
Yes, yes,
it is. That
is
a deep episode.
Do cartoons... I mean, these are adult shows, sitcoms, basically. But, like, do they do that stuff anymore? Because, like, you know, the Michael Jackson Simpsons episode is they put Homer in a loony bin because he wears a pink shirt.
Yeah.
And then, like, he wears a pink shirt. He's crazy.
Yeah.
And then he runs into, quote-unquote, Michael Jackson. That's not really him, but whatever. You know, but it's like
really
it's tackling these mental health issues before... people were talking about mental health
way
issues. And
time.
Like, same thing with like that Lenore episode where it's like they're tackling mental health when we didn't even realize that it was an issue but now it's like a pandemic. Like, sweeping the
nation.
Well,
I think everyone's kind of realizing we've been not talking about it forever, but it's been around for a very long time.
Thanks,
and
Reagan.
And always gets sweeped under. Thanks, Woo.
So, thanks, Reagan.
Did he? What? Why do you say that?
Dismantled the mental health system that
we have.
Yeah, let's just close down all these institutes.
Yeah, we don't need these, right?
Yeah.
They're not doing anything productive.
They're just making that.
You know, maybe they weren't great, but now we have nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Anybody else watch anything?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I watched Mortal Engines.
You did?
I don't know what that is.
That's the one where
Mortal
the cities
Engines is a
are
movie
on
about
wheels.
Cities on wheels that eat each other.
Yeah. Do you remember? You never saw that trailer? The big, like, yeah.
It's exactly as stupid as it sounds.
Dude,
what?
The preview, I'm like, what the hell?
This is
it's London. Look out. London's a transformer with wheels.
So it's like a
city on
the
wheels.
The city's a giant
For those of you listening, I know BJ has not watched this movie. He is not exaggerating. That is exactly what the movie is. It is large, predatory cities. And really, London's the only one that you see. They don't talk about any of the other ones that might be doing the same thing. But large, predatory city on wheels that hunts smaller cities because it's in a post-apocalyptic world and resources are scarce. And because resources are scarce, we put our entire city on wheels and require fuel to move it around.
Yeah, it's dumb.
This movie makes no fucking sense.
So you watched it.
Was
no
it awesome,
fucking
though?
Sense. It's so fun to watch, though.
Dude,
I'm so mad that it's fun to watch.
Oh, that's
because
great.
The performance, like Hugo Weaving is in it, and he's like the main, like, oh, he's a good guy, but he's the villain, and you know it from the start.
Interesting.
Right.
Because he normally makes good,
good
shit.
Choices.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
But if you choose a good, campy, bad movie, that's fun.
Honestly, he's great in it.
Well, and like, he's probably just doing it because he's like, yeah, this is stupid.
He's
but
great
so,
in it.
Yeah, that's what
like,
I mean.
I can't
yeah.
be Aragorn every time.
And
like,
I can't remember the guy's
or
name.
Or not Aragorn.
Elrond.
Yeah.
It's okay. I'll forgive you.
I know.
This time.
But still.
I can't remember the guy's name, but he's...
I called Hugo Weaving.
He's
Aragorn.
Number six in Umbrella Academy. The one who sees dead people, I think.
Haley Joel Osment?
No. Not the guy with the tiny face on the large head.
I want to watch Umbrella Academy again now
all the time.
Because since I've been watching The Boys,
I haven't seen any.
But anyway,
Umbrella
the number six.
Umbrella Academy's good.
I know
it is very good.
I think he's number six, but he's like the one with the drug problem and his power.
Yes,
talk to the
right. And he has
dead.
To always stay high, otherwise,
right. otherwise he's seeing dead
he's
people
dead
all
people,
the time.
Right,
it's too much
time.
For him to handle.
Right.
I'm pretty sure it's him. That's the lead actor or one of the lead actors in this, and he's almost the same. He's not the same because he's not like a drug addict, but he's like the same like kind of manic-ish energy.
Right.
He's good.
That's his wheelhouse.
Like everyone, the performances are fine. Like for what they're trying to do, all the performances are fine. No one's like, that's bad acting.
Right.
I just didn't feel. And
the story's dumb.
The concept is stupid, but I enjoyed watching it. I did.
That's like
they take a couple like super obvious. So my problems with it aren't just that it's dumb because that's a big problem. It's really
dumb.
Yeah,
but you just shut your brain off for that part.
Right, you just turn it off and like enjoy the cities driving around and trying to eat each other.
Right.
Oh my god, I just have a brainstorm just now.
There's two things. One of them is like the very obvious digs at like American culture, like 2010s culture. Like they have a museum because this is supposed to take place. Like way, way, way in the future. Like we're supposed to be like the ancient ones, and like we destroyed society with like quantum energy weapons. Which, why? Like the time frame from being in like static cities and having to roam around to gobble up resources. They make it sound like it's been like they've been doing this for thousands of years.
Right.
But London, like for whatever reasons, just now left the island, and now it's just now in Europe. Like there's no way there's enough resources on the island for London to hunt. For thousands of years before finally, and the fact that I'm thinking this much
exactly
about this
makes
movie
you mad.
Made me angry. It made me angry while I was watching it. I can't think about this too much.
You're thinking too smart about a dumb movie,
right? Right. So I just stopped myself from doing that. But they also take like obvious digs at 2010s culture, like, oh, these are American deities, and they have like the minions in their museum, like these were gods to the Americans, and like they have a display case for like the screen age where we're all obsessed with screens, stuff like TVs and smartphones and stuff like that. But the most egregious is the obvious pandering to China. It's like we want this money to make a movie in China. It's like all the Western cultures and countries are evil and bad and stupid, and all the Eastern like the Chinese culture is the best, and they found the right way to survive, and they're smart and eloquent and this and that. I'm like, come on, guys! Like we know exactly what you're doing. If this movie had been made in, like, I don't know, 1995, we'd probably be like, oh, this is awesome. But it exists now in an era where studios are trying so, so hard to get China's money, and it's just telegraphed. Yeah. Like, we made this for China. We don't care about you. And I'm like, cool. All right, whatever.
That makes me want to watch it.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
It's so dumb, but it sounds great.
There's a reanimated robot guy for reasons.
Why
it
not?
Makes no fucking sense, but it's super watchable.
Oh, that's
super watchable.
I'm still mad that I said Hugo Weaving with Aragorn.
It's all right.
That's okay.
It's all right.
Completely in my brain.
Okay. What you need to do is tweet an apology to Hugo Weaving.
Thought. Dude, I tweet stuff.
Probably respond.
It makes me sad that I tweet my jokes on Twitter.
Why does it make you sad?
Because I don't have any followers.
Right.
And it's a funny joke.
Somebody listen.
Nobody sees it.
Yeah, hashtag that shit.
I did. Well, I can't. I mean, anyway. One of them that I just tweeted was, a pan pizza is just a pizza that never really grows up. Hashtag bangarang.
Oh, my God.
Hashtag
that's actually pretty good.
It's a hashtag bangarang.
Bangarang beer.
It's a Peter Pan hook joke.
Okay, good. I assumed it was a Peter Pan joke, but I didn't get bangarang.
But, like, in my mind, I'm like, this is a funny fucking joke.
Yeah. That's a good joke. That was a good
Somebody
joke.
Needs to appreciate this.
So.
Not one like.
Yeah. Not one like.
So on the complete opposite sci-fi, sci-fi spectrum, I watched Star Trek: First Contact
for
the first time in a very long time.
That's the one with the Borg.
Yes.
Yes.
Borg time travel, meeting the guy who invents warp drive, et cetera, et cetera.
Is that the first next gen movie?
Yes.
Is
yes.
it?
Yes. Yes. Yes, it is.
No.
Or wait, no. Generations.
No, because that one has both. That sets Kirk in it.
So Generations came first, and it's like the bridge movie, right?
Is that what's the one where the thing comes and like scoops up the guy, and he's like, isn't that?
That's Generations.
Okay. Sorry. I get confused. I haven't watched them in a minute.
First Contact is.
I want to go back and watch them now.
Good.
Like, I'm just now thinking about it. Like,
they're all
Star Trek movies are good.
They're all on Amazon Prime right now.
Except for 5. Don't watch 5.
I can't recall any of those older Star Trek movies. I remember the first.
Even numbered Star Trek movies in the originals are all good.
I remember Wrath of Khan.
That's 4. Number 2.
4 is when they go back in time.
Voyage home.
And they have the ship
the humpback
here,
whales and
the ship here in San Diego is featured in it.
The Midway.
The Star of India.
Wait, really?
In 4?
Isn't there a scene where they're on the holodeck, but they're really like on
yes.
an old ship?
Yes.
And they use that ship.
Yes.
Which is the ship that Todd, who is. One of our producers.
Thanks, Todd.
Got married on.
Oh. They don't have the holodeck in the original Star Trek, do they?
They do.
Don't they do a whole like scene from the old
pirate? BJ's right. They do.
So.
Yeah,
not in Star Trek 4.
I don't know which one it is.
I don't know if it's I think 4. It is 4. No.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you for sure.
I think you're right. I think BJ's
anyway,
right.
4 is
I
when they come
be right.
back in time. They have to
just know that like...
They randomly have to, because they have no Enterprise because it blows up in Search for Spock.
So they have to take a
good.
Bird of
so
prey.
They take the Klingon bird of prey that mm-hmm. can cloak itself, and they come travel back in time because they have to get 2 humpback whales
mm-hmm.
because they go extinct. They have to come back in
yeah.
time, save the humpback
with
whales.
This alien thing that's trying to
is that
the,
that's
the
4?
Planet.
That's number 4.
I'm pretty sure that's the same one. That
4
is
good.
I don't remember that scene at
it's at the very beginning.
All.
I think
beginning.
He's. I'm pretty sure BJ's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
he's usually right.
I got it's true. It's true. Usually.
You're welcome.
Usually,
oh boy.
Yeah. I'm
oh
pretty sure.
Oh boy.
And I didn't even say I'm pretty sure. So my idea for a little running like skit thing is a pitch room. And it's where people a little scene written and played out. About pitching the stupidest movies of all time, and City on Wheels movies. What was it called again?
Mortal Engines.
Mortal Engines would be one
bad title.
Imagine this, you know, trying to sell the idea to somebody, but it comes to me because I remember when the movie
Rant did it.
Did they? God damn it!
And it's good.
All the best movies of all
it's
the best.
Funny too. It's really funny. And they don't do. They
good
don't
ideas,
do it for,
a good idea is a good idea.
They don't
know,
just
so.
Do it for bad movies though. They do it for good movies too.
Oh yeah.
So let me tell you this movie. Blah, blah, blah. It's like so they do this. And it's like no, we're doing the complete opposite thing. And it's funny as shit.
That's funny because I remember like talking about the movie Teeth, mm-hmm. which I don't know if you're familiar with Teeth.
That's the vagina that eats people.
Vagina that eats people.
Yes.
Yep. Vagina dentata is real.
Trying to picture that. I mean, pitch that to somebody, you know, to someone in a room.
Like
now this guy, he's got a good idea.
The movie Rubber. Do you know what rubber is?
That's where a tire kills people.
Ding, 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 ding,
nope,
ding, ding, ding.
Sentient.
You'd think after talking about Teeth, the vagina that eats people, a movie Rubber might be the counterpart to that.
Mm-hmm.
Wah, wah,
but
bah,
it's
bah,
not.
Bah.
Nope.
Fuck Screen Rant, man. We can do our own.
We
do our own.
Yeah, we can do it.
So.
Tire that kills people.
The Boys.
The
Sorry.
Boys on Amazon.
Yeah.
Mm.
Do tell.
Dude, it's so good. So neither of you watched it?
No.
You both are gonna. You both are going to go like, damn. I love this so
I've
much.
I've heard it's
Here's my peripheral knowledge.
Okay.
The superheroes are bad guys in the sense that I'm a superhero. I'm Superman. I have Superman powers. I'm indestructible, mm-hmm. whatever. And I can do this thing, like move this building over here, and you can't stop me, so I'm going to do it. In the sense that that's why he's like a bad guy. Like, they use their powers to the point where if in the Avengers, they didn't sign the Sokovia Accords, the superheroes would just run rampant and do whatever they want.
Sort of. In this storyline, the superheroes work for a particular corporation. And then that corporation
Disney.
Makes movies.
Yeah.
Or Marvel. It's Disney.
Right.
It's Disney. But it's the Marvel product. But actually, it's much more of a spoof on the DC characters.
Sure.
Because the dude is the main guy.
Somebody
Homelander.
Describe me yeah. as it being like kind of Watchmen-esque.
Yeah. Probably. But speaking of which, I can't wait to see what they do with that on
yeah.
HBO.
Yeah.
But the superheroes are part of a giant corporation. They make their movies. They make they
so
endorse
like super,
products.
So like Superman isn't a character.
He's
a
real
Superman,
guy. But he
and
also
like,
stars in
here's
movies.
The new Superman movie starring Superman.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Only
and watch him do his
Superman.
Stuff. Right.
He's,
but also he gets in the news all the time because he did something great and saved somebody.
But they're corrupt, evil corporation.
They are corrupted by, yeah, definitely. It's by corporation corruption, you know. And so, yeah, and the power. And they have an immense amount of power.
And so the Boys.
Yes.
They're the.
So the Boys.
Vigilantes
which is
trying
funny.
To take down the superheroes?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So you this group of people who. So they have they call them the Supes, like are the superheroes.
Sure.
They're the Supes,
yeah.
mm-hmm. and then who are convinced that the Supes are corrupt and not good people,
mm-hmm.
And so yeah, and I wish I could think of the actor's name who's the main guy in it, and he's got
the main boy.
Yeah, the main boy. And I don't really realize
God, he's the
why
guy
they call
from...
it the Boys. I want to say he was God. Spock in the
nope, he's
JJ.
He was not Spock. He's
not Spock.
McCoy.
He's Boys.
Carl
Bones.
Urban.
Oh,
yeah.
I love Carl Urban.
You'll love. Oh, yep. That's him. And you will love it.
He's one of my favorite actors who never fucking gets his due.
Oh, he's all over. He owns this movie.
Awesome.
This whole show.
That's great. I
actually, everyone's good in this show. Like everyone is good in this show. And
he almost made Doom watchable.
Doom?
Dread. Judge
Doom.
Dread. Oh, he was in Doom?
Doom.
I don't know that.
He's in Doom.
First, I was like,
with
the Judge
Rock.
Dredd movie he was in was good.
Him and The Rock. Him and The Rock are in Doom. No, Dredd
man,
was awesome.
So the storyline of The Boys is so smart, and it's just like so fun to like follow, and it's like, oh, yeah, okay. Okay, and then it's twisted. It's twisted and like wrong. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of it is just like, ooh, that's wrong. It's so fun.
It's one of those ones where I say that I want to watch it, and I actually believe that I will.
Mm. I'm
like,
gonna watch that.
Like Miss Maisel,
sure.
It took me a minute to get there, but
right.
I eventually got there, and I feel like this is gonna be one of those.
You
ones
should,
where I might watch season one when season two, if maybe there is a season two, or maybe it, I don't know if it
there
wraps it up.
There definitely will be.
Okay, so maybe when season two is about to come out, I'll go back and watch like season
yeah.
one.
No, you need like, to. You should go. I mean, I'm just telling you, just because I know what we all like stuff that we really.
I know
enjoy
that's
and watch.
Right up my alley.
Yeah,
I'm
that
I'm
you will sure. you will fucking adore it. You
nice.
Will love it. And
hour longs? They're hour longs.
About an hour. Yeah.
Yeah okay.
And about 10 episodes.
Damn that.
And you will watch it. And you'll watch it again. Like it, this is what's great. This is a real testament to
yeah.
it. Was like, it's. Cruising along, I'm like, oh, this is so good. This is so good. And you know how sometimes I watch TV. Sometimes I'm like, oh,
you
shit.
You get lost.
Yeah, and like I get distracted on something.
Right. Yeah, that's what I meant.
And so I've
never heard you say that.
You're right.
What?
So as soon as it's over, like I'm like,
never,
I'm,
ever.
Before I watch anything else, I'm watching this whole thing again because that's just it's just so good.
That's impressive. And Biz said the same thing. He's like, I watched it
twice. He's
already
watched
already
it twice.
Too.
Yeah.
Ooh,
that's cool. That's that's interesting to
it's,
me.
I'm telling
that
you,
both
man.
Of you guys are like. It's good enough to where I'm
like,
going to watch
start
it again.
I'm
going
to start it a third time. Like, I'm seriously going
to
do that.
So. Any new show twice. in if a it's long good, time.
Yeah, I mean that's and I used to always watch everything,
especially
at least
one
twice.
that are going on. Like I don't ever like I didn't go back and watch. The only thing that I've done that with is Game of Thrones because Samantha hadn't watched it. I went back and rewatched all of it.
My mistake.
I would always
watch
each episode twice, like as they come out.
Right.
Like I'd watch it that night or and then
zone out
and then
and watch
later.
It again.
Yeah, no, I'd watch it and I'd usually be into it, but just if it's good, you want to watch it again.
Right. I have a question.
That's why I've watched The Wire so many times and watched Sopranos.
Have either of you had a desire to rewatch Game of Thrones since it ended?
This last season, a little bit. Like,
not the last season, but just the show.
I have.
Not yet.
I haven't at all.
I'm sure I will. Kind of like Avengers. Like, I literally am like, ugh. Like, it's over. like, I got this. Literally, when Endgame came out, like, it took this weight of the freaking story arc off your shoulders where you're like,
How I feel about Avengers.
I can breathe now.
I feel like, okay,
I don't have to see it anymore.
Watching the special features, I'm going to watch this movie again. Yeah. I have a feeling this movie's better than
Endgame.
Like, you know, I thought it's a good, like, this is good. I enjoyed this. But I have a feeling that the movie itself is better than I remember it.
Oh, I'm sure it is too, because I've only seen it the one time, and it's because I was so ready and amped. And it's one of those things where, like Guardians 2, I feel had the opposite effect where I was so ready for it. And I was like, woo, this is great. This is fun. Mm. Woohoo. And I left the theater going like, I loved it. Mm. And then you watch it again at home and you're like,
this is not that great.
This is, okay. That's but fine. Like, it's not, you don't have that like amped up, like premiere energy for it.
Yeah.
And so I feel like Endgame is going to have the opposite effect that one did, where I was like, super amped for the movie in the theater because obvious reasons. But when I watch it again, I don't feel like it's going to be a letdown. I'm going to be like, oh, I missed that. Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's crazy. Like, I feel like there's going to be a
lot
more.
That's the fun part of a rewatch. On a lot of things. It's like, oh, you just get even more.
Yeah.
And then you go, you pick up stuff that you're like, that's brilliant. I didn't get that the first time, but they put this in there just at this right time to show you this. And
It's like, we just watched The Sixth Sense. Like, that's why I was like, I see dead people. Like, it's a joke, and ha-ha, it's funny. But, like, Samantha just randomly picked it, and I was like, Sixth Sense? Like, ugh. He's like, I hadn't seen it in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But as we're watching it, I'm like,
it's good.
This movie's
good
real good.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you hadn't seen it in a long time, and then knowing the secret, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, watching the movie, everything is just a trip. Like, everything about it. Like, the very first time that he's supposed to meet Cole, the kid, Bruce Willis is like sitting outside his house, and like there's a camera shot on his notes, like socially awkward, da 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 da. Like you see all the symptoms of the kid, and then he comes out the house, and he like is weird and awkward and whatever, and he slams the door and he starts running, and it's like he's running because he's seeing yet another ghost. Like it's just one of those things that you just like pick up on immediately, and it's like, when you're like, even like when you're like, I don't know, I've seen that movie 10, 15 times, I don't know, a bunch of times. And like this time I watched it and I was like, oh, he's running because he sees another ghost. Like,
that's so cool.
Not because he's awkward. Like, he's telling you that he's running because he's an awkward, weird introvert kid in the notes. And then he runs and you're like, oh, yeah, that's all the symptoms. That's right.
You're a ghost.
But it's like, no, he's running because you're a ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, it just now hit me this time that that's why it's happening.
I got to watch
that. And there's
that again.
All sorts of things that happen throughout that whole movie where it's just, and Samantha's like, well, you know, he can't get in because da da da. I'm like, well, he can't get in because he can't see that the books are in front of the door. And, like, she's like, but why? And I was like, because they only see what they want. It's a masterpiece of a movie.
It is. It really is.
From M. Night.
That reminds me of whenever I've watched this movie four times. The Prestige.
Love that movie.
It's so goddamn
it is.
Good.
It is brilliant.
And I'm trying to figure out, like, all right, which one is he this time? Oh, he's the other one. He's this one? And I'm still not 100% on, like, which guy is, like, at the front, at the forefront.
Well, and so
spoiler alert, by the way, if you haven't seen the Prestige, sorry.
Yeah, sure. So when So they're making their living as magicians, right? And then they go see the old Chinese man, magician. They're already doing their shtick,
right? They've been doing it from the beginning of the movie, if I'm not mistaken.
We live it. Like, he knows what the Chinese guy is doing because they're doing it already? Or does he then get the idea to like, oh, we can live this way?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Like, I have to watch it again.
Right?
I don't know.
Like, I don't remember. It just like, I just remember Hugh Jackman's like,
the trick
how does he live the trick. Like, Hugh Jackman's like,
this is the trick right here, where he's like hobbling
right
in the wagon. And all
where he's probably just some young guy, yeah, like not being an old guy.
Yeah.
But when you see the old guy the whole time until he gets in the van or
he lives
the
it
wagon.
Yeah. Right.
Wow.
And so when he's like, oh, he lives it, does he get the idea to like, oh, we can, us as, spoiler alert, again, as twins, yeah, we can do this. Or
yeah,
is
that
it,
movie's so fucking good.
It is so good.
Like, I don't even know if that was on my top 10 list now that I think about it.
So here's another question about that movie.
Mm-hmm.
The Prestige.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Hugh Jackman gets Tesla to make him the actual transporting man.
Right.
Which is actually a cloning machine.
Mm-hmm.
not really a transporting man. He creates a copy. And then they even ask the question. So I want to ask the question. Is the actual Hugh Jackman transported out and the clone gets trapped and dies? Or is it that he literally knows he's going to kill himself every day? Like, do you think the Prestige is the guy that stood in the machine, like, here I am over here? Or do you think the guy in falls through the trap door
is the real...
Is he literally gets in there to kill himself every night?
I think the Hugh Jackman character is too self-aware and wants to preserve himself. If he knows how it's going to happen, he's definitely, the clone is going to die every time.
Okay.
You don't think so?
Of course
he does.
But he wants it so bad that he's willing to literally die. Because he wants the glory so bad.
But he couldn't appreciate the glory if he's dead. So, I mean, he's doing the one thing. He's taking the bow.
But the one that appears has all of his memories up to that point. So, as far as he knows, he's him.
So it takes the bravery
I don't think he would trust that his spirit would live into the clone.
I'm with Jared. So I think at this point, he's so desperate to
be
the best.
I would like to see now. Got to watch
that
again.
He will do anything.
Dang, what's our rewatch movies now? So Sixth Sense and Prestige.
Even when they're reading he's reading the journal.
Yeah.
Which you don't think is happening in quote unquote real time or whatever. Like the movies.
Yes,
God,
this is
no,
really important. Yeah. I wrote this for you. You're like, oh fucker!
Yeah. It's like he's in jail already.
Yeah, that movie's
This isn't happening back and forth.
You motherfucker!
Like, he's like, oh, I beat you, and you don't even realize that I beat you. It's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, that movie's so good.
So damn good.
So good.
And then he dies. Like, he literally dies. But he's like, just trust, you know, Johnson or whatever the stupid manservant's name is. Just trust him. He'll take care of you. It's like,
nobody cares about the man in the box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
Woof. Why do you hire only blind people? No reason. They're just taking my cloned bodies
to a freaking warehouse full of bodies.
Damn. But that's like the weird stuff about that movie. But the thinking stuff is like, does he kill himself every night?
At this point, I can't. I don't think he does. Like,
I don't know.
I think that
sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Well, no. They kind of hint that it's not. Well, maybe because you don't know. Well, no, because they show all the cat the hats.
All the hats and all the cats.
So that means that, like, those are the cloned ones that happen elsewhere.
Right.
So that means the clone is the person that pops. So he literally does kill himself.
No.
Right?
No. Because the
hat doesn't. But Tesla
stays there, right?
Tesla never makes it clear. They never make it clear whether it's.
But you see all, like, when it's the hat,
it's
sitting right there. Yep, it's still here, you idiot. But then it shows you all the clone hats elsewhere.
But
did
it make a clone in the exact spot and then move
the
original
somewhere
else? But the
machine goes bzzz, and then, yeah, you're right.
Like,
damn,
you know, we don't really, they never explain how it really works, so we don't really know.
Right, maybe it makes the clone in the same spot and the real one does get transported.
It could be either one.
Because the only reason there's a second one that dies is because it falls through the trap door.
Yeah.
And so it's either the original guy that falls through or he gets blasted somewhere else the second that the clone shows up.
Because remember, the key scene is when he shoots the clone, right?
Right.
Because when he shoots the first time he does it and the clone appears or he appears or whichever.
No way.
Whichever it is. Wait, no. And the fact that he's like, please don't shoot me.
Makes you think that he has all
is
the
memories.
Is
that him? Yeah. Obviously, he does.
Is
that the real – that could be the real him, or it could just be a clone with all the memories. Like, it could be either one. We don't really know.
Yep. Good.
Fuck, man.
Brilliant.
But either way, he knows he's killing himself.
Right.
Because if the clone does have all the memories, which it's
he knows
stated that he does,
it is him.
That as soon as he falls in there, he's like, oh – But do you think he knows, like, up until that point that, like, the clone that's in the box is like, I'm supposed to die right now? Like, because they're panicked. I mean, they're drowning. Yeah. But, like, they like if you think if they know that they're dying, that they're just like, all right, well, this is my purpose. You know what I mean? Like, it's
yeah.
just it's
Mr. Mr. Mises. Anybody watch that show? God damn it. The one that's done by Dan Harmon. It's a cartoon. And the old man and the
Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty. Mr. Meeseys.
I've watched like one or two of those.
That's one where we talk about the cartoons like dealing with really deep stuff, dude. Rick and Morty, and there's some other ones that do that too. And man, they go deep in a very like bizarre and entertaining way.
Nice. Anybody else watch anything? We've been talking about it a lot.
Just Hard Knocks, which has been. Fine.
Yeah. It's fine.
Because at first it's like kind of novel, but then it's like this is just the Antonio Brown, John Gruden show. Mm-hmm. And like with other stuff like kind of interspersed in between.
So
John Gruden loves the camera though.
He sure does.
And Antonio Brown is crazy.
He is, but by the.
He doesn't come off as.
Like, by the most recent episode anyway, he comes off as way more genuine and a little bit together.
Good.
He's definitely out there.
Yes. All wide receivers seem to be a little off. Yeah.
Because when he's talking about the game, like when him and Derek are talking about playing the game, he sounds like sharp and right on and right there in the moment. But other times, just kind of like, you're not quite right. And like, there's a scene in the most recent one where he's talking about he has like fan mail. He's talking about the fan mail and how great it is to like. He's like, this is great to like have this effect on people and have them like really care about something and to unite them in this way. Blah blah blah. I'm like, that's a really poignant thing to say. And then the next scene is him like. I got a headache from my helmet, like right here. It hurts so bad. I can't do anything. And it's like, who are you?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of human are
go
you?
Go fly a hot air balloon, right? Like, just go. Anyway.
But the Canada game, is they feature that at the end. Mm-hmm. They play it in Canada,
yes.
Preseason game.
I'm going to probably watch that tonight.
On an 80-yard field, which is like, you're the fucking NFL. Like, come on. Figure this out. Like, this is ridiculous. And Gruden was... It's so funny watching him be super pissed about it, but not like trying to like, yell at people about it because, like, you know, the refs are trying. They're trying their best, and it's just all, they're all in a situation together, and they have to work with what they can. But he walks that way from there, it's like, well, all right, I'm glad you guys got to get a hold of this. It's like you just want to say, you motherfuckers, because this is bullshit.
I wonder when I watch it, I'll find out. But yeah. I have a feeling that, like, he's quite aware that the cameras are rolling.
Oh,
always.
Yeah.
He always is.
Yeah.
So.
Since maybe the first episode, that's why I'm like, ugh.
They do have a couple of shots of like players like FaceTiming like friends and family and talking about like, hey, I hope I make the team, which is like kind of touching. And like, oh,
yeah,
I hope you do make the team.
That's
something
I like.
I really do. Like a guy who brings he flies his mom up to the preseason game in Canada, and she's like super. And they like tour around the city and they take stupid pictures of statues, and it's like really sweet and endearing. He's like,
yeah.
Wow, like, and he's actually he's a second year pro, so he will probably make the team,
right?
But you know, you never know. And just her like. They show her watching the game and, like, Gruden watching the game. And, like, Gruden makes a commentary and she makes pretty much the exact same commentary from the stands. And it's like, oh, look at that. Like, smart football mom.
Nice.
And it's like, there's, like, little cool stuff like that. But by and large, I'm just kind of like, yeah, this is mostly just about John and Antonio being
them. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that the hype is going to be real for the Raiders this year? Do you think they're going to stand a chance? The problem is, for the first time in a long time, the AFC West looks pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Raiders look pretty good. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs are unbelievable.
Chiefs are good.
Chargers are going to be pretty good.
Chargers had a great year last year.
Yeah, as long as Melvin Gordon shows up.
And Keenan Allen stays
healthy.
Allen.
Right.
I think as far as the fans go, the hype is way more than ever.
Yeah.
Way more than ever right now. As far as the NFL at large, no, the Raiders are a joke. Like, the NFL thinks the Raiders are a fucking joke, and they're always going
to only
think
because,
the Raiders
because they haven't been able to put it together. Like, they've accumulated free.
And now Antonio Brown is there, and he's being kind of a joke. So now it's like, oh, the Raiders are even more of a joke.
Right.
So, I don't think anybody outside the Raider fan base is as hyped as the Raider fan base is, but the Raider fan base is crazy hyped.
Do you think the Chiefs take the West?
Me being one of them.
Or do you think they're going to show their humanity and not be?
Dude, I
they
do.
Have the fastest wide receivers. Yeah. Like, they have Sammy Watkins on one side, Tyreek Hill on the other side. And their new, what's his name? Mecole Hardman, I think, is their third wide receiver. They're literally the three fastest wide receivers in the game.
Because I don't
Mahomes
think...
literally has the strongest arm. All they have to do is run far as hell.
None of the other defenses are good enough to be better than the Chiefs.
And if you cover the deep ball, guess what he's going to do? Yeah. Dump it off or run 10 yards. Like, how do you stop the Chiefs?
Because I've watched
the
preseason.
The ball last.
And you know, preseason, you only get reps from the first team for so often. But I've watched all the defenses. And... I don't think the Raiders, Chargers, or Broncos defense is good enough to stop the Chiefs from doing whatever they want to do.
I don't know how any team knows how to stop them. Yeah. Literally,
Chargers beat them last year.
Yeah, that's true.
And that was with, I think, probably a tougher team, but we'll see. But you say that. You never know. You never know.
They didn't have the three fastest guys in the NFL running nine.
Any given Sunday, anything can happen. You can win or lose.
Any given Sunday.
Derek Carr is still milquetoast. He's just like the most vanilla person I've ever seen on TV in general.
In that first episode, he's such a dick. He's like, you are a fucking pompous asshole.
A lot of them are. A lot of them are dicks.
I imagine that, you know, you get in that. You've lived in a
testosterone football.
That combined with leading a catered life up until that point, you know, in high school and college, you are not a normal person. You're an athlete, you know.
Antonio Brown talks about that in his segment in this too. It's like it's weird being like when you're a superstar, and he doesn't say it in like the I'm a superstar kind of way, but it's like when the eye is on you like this, life is different.
Regular rules don't apply.
But when you're watching Hard Knocks with the Cincinnati Bengals and they're like falling around Andy Dalton, it's like Andy Dalton's not a superstar. He's just a good enough quarterback to be in the NFL, which is bonkers.
Really good.
Right.
Right.
But like as far as NFL goes, like out of the 32, like he's okay.
Yeah.
And so
20 something.
But you're watching him on screen and like he's doing the jokes and stuff that the other guys are doing, but like he just seems like a likable guy.
Yeah.
Whereas Derek Carr, they show him like in his house with his wife and his kids.
Doesn't seem real.
And I'm like, you're a fucking asshole. Like I couldn't stand it. I was like, you are a fucking pompous little shit.
And none of what he says feels very real.
Except for when he tells his kid, like, don't cry, be a man. I'm like, that feels real.
Nah, okay.
Fucking douche.
Yeah, like, that was a douchey thing.
Womp womp.
That was like, immediately I was like, oh, for fuck's
sake. The ball back. Like, go get it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Let's teach some super. That's toxic masculinity right there.
I just couldn't deal with Derek Carr.
Yeah.
And then John Gruden, like, hamming it up for the camera. Like, not that he's.
Knock on wood if you're with me.
Not that he's good.
So they actually made a joke about that in this recent one where they, like, played probably 10 clips in a row of him saying that in different ways.
I thought they were that song.
We're aware that this is kind of stupid, so we're going to make a joke about
it. Knock on wood. You better knock on wood.
But, I mean, it is, like, HBO knows how to make a good show, and they're, like...
The production values are great.
Yeah, like, and they just, they hype up all the stuff that should be hyped up. Mm-hmm. They focus in on, like, oh, if John Gruden's going to be ham, then turn the cameras on. Like, ham it up. John Gruden will capture all of this.
Yep.
If Derek Carr's going to be kind of a douche, then, like, let's highlight him being a douche, because, like, that's the narrative that we're now going to follow, and so, like, they're really good at producing that show.
Yeah.
Speaking of HBO, this made me wonder about kind of the infallibility of HBO, how they're always good. Is this Righteous Gemstones, man?
You watched it?
I'm two episodes in, and the first episode was like pretty good, but it's clear that's like, oh, this is Danny McBride being Danny McBride, which is funny. But
what does
that
mean to you, though? Because I think Danny McBride is a genius.
If you only count the earlier stuff, but when it's kind of repeated over and over again and just kind of the same.
You're saying there's not a lot of range there.
It's not. And everybody's funny in it. Like, everybody's funny. But, like, you know what they... I'm not loving it. Like, we'll see how it goes in the third episode. I'm going to definitely watch, you know, at least a few more episodes. But I remember feeling this way a little bit about Vice Principals, that, like, I enjoyed it, but it's like, But they're bringing in Walter Goggins in the next episode, which I love me some Walton Goggins.
Walton.
Walton? Mm-hmm. Walton Goggins.
right?
Yes. I love him anyway.
Walter.
Even if I say his name wrong.
Walter.
Walter.
Now you got me thinking.
I thought it was Walter, but.
Walt something.
Mr. Goggins.
Yeah, Mr.
Goggins. Senor Goggins.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I'm curious to see how that show plays out. Because a lot of people think that Eastbound and Down, what's his name, Kenny Powers.
Mm-hmm.
You're fucking out.
Like, they think that that's who Danny McBride is. Mm-hmm. And, like, when you see Tropic Thunder and he's, like, the pyrotechnic, like, yeah, fucking yeah.
It's
like, they
the
think
same.
That that's who Danny McBride is. And I'm like, well.
They're the same. They're kind of the same.
But it's like, the same thing with, like, Dax Shepard. Like, I listen to Dax Shepard's podcast. Dax Shepard is a very, like, well-educated, smart, like, mm-hmm. anthropology major, like, and when you watch him in Idiocracy, he's like, go away, Peyton. Like, I'm just a, like, I'm a dumb idiot. It's like, just because somebody plays a dumb idiot real well doesn't mean they're a dumb idiot. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Danny McBride. Just because he plays this like kind of like amped up testosterone field kind of redneck guy, mm-hmm. he's not really that. But and
that's
so I'm just curious
how entertaining
to see
that product is. And
but
it's
he's not that same guy for Gemstones, is he? Like.
I mean, have you? I mean, when is he not? I mean, when is he not that same guy? I've never
Alien, Covenant.
I don't remember that. I don't think I saw that movie.
But he's not that in that movie because he's not. Just
but
an action
I think
hero
more
actor.
More like.
But nobody's really anything in that movie,
right?
When it's his baby, you know, which Eastbound and Down was his baby.
Right.
Vice Principals is his baby. It's all.
He's not hyper rednecky masculine guy in Vice Principals.
It's the same guy. It's kind of the same guy.
I can kind of see it. Yeah.
And it's kind of the same guy in this one.
Because John Goodman is like the televangelical like guy.
Right.
And he plays one of the sons.
Right.
And they're all like, dad's crazy kind of thing, right?
Not so much. It's just that like they're all clearly putting on a show.
It's the comedy version of Succession is how HBO is kind of trying to sell it.
Hmm.
Maybe.
Succession's
so good.
It's on my list, too.
It's so good.
So can you kind of see it? And also, I've heard that they're not making fun of religion. They're making fun of, like,
The people.
Yeah.
Like, they're not saying, like, Christians are stupid. But they're like, these megachurch people that run these things are corrupt as fuck.
Yes. Which is, I'm down with.
Which we
right.
know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joel Osteen flies a fucking G6 everywhere he goes. Like,
yeah.
Like he's running a nonprofit. Wink, wink.
What you do to the least of us.
Yeah. Dang it. You know what? Because I like, you know, I kind of like Joel Osteen.
What?
Like, yeah.
Absolutely not.
Like, he
puts out good messages. And
yeah.
Stuff.
His messages are always, he's got a good message whenever
he does
it. But when you look at it, like.
But he's fucking corrupt.
He doesn't live it.
These mega churches. I'm against these mega churches.
Do as I say, not as I do.
The exact same way I'm against mega corporations like Disney and such. So of course I'm against it.
Yeah.
You
but Disney makes good movies.
You shouldn't need
Joel
money.
Joel Osteen gives
faith.
Good sermons. So.
Yeah.
So, without Mikey P here to recommend something, or without Maddie to give us a movie review, you've stuck with us for 2 hours. So,
thank you.
When you get us talking about what we've been watching, and we start talking about things that we have watched, like The Prestige and Sixth Sense,
we can go on and
blather on like no other. Yeah. So, thanks out there for listening. Anybody got any final things, or are we ready to wrap this?
Wrap it up.
This.
Let's
get out of my garage. Thanks out there for listening to our show. You guys are awesome. You guys are what makes it. And if nothing else, share the show. Say, hey, listen to Life's a Binge. Send the link out.
Call that number.
Yeah, call the voicemail. Whatever. Do whatever you do. But just listening is really all we can really ask for. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
But let's get out of here. This has been Life's a Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
I am Rich.
And we'll see you on the couch.
Life's a Binge! Bow, 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 bow,
bow. Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show. You can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.
What could I do? Okay, all right.